Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Arr!
Today is June 14th, 2013, and this is episode 30, GameBuoy's second annual E3 blowout. Well played. So, as you probably know, being the savvy, handsome, beautiful, majestic, brilliant folks out there that our listeners are, you probably know that we try to be impartial and not awful on our show here. I want to take a moment to officially apologize for the venomous rancor with which I spat at Microsoft last week. I was unfortunately very disappointed in the show that they put on in the reveal of the Xbox One, and was told that I veered into rambly rantiness one too many times. I have been chastised, and hopefully it will not happen again. Anything you'd like to say about that?
I don't give no fucks.
Well played. For those of you out there who were upset at how negative I was about Microsoft, I have to warn you, it doesn't get better. But that's a spoiler for...
Hashtag, it doesn't get better.
Please don't hashtag that. That's very unpleasant. Anyway, that's a spoiler for where we're going later on in this episode. First up, we have some follow-ups for all y'all. I'd like to start off by pointing out and informing you all that LEGO Marvel Super Heroes has added two characters to its roster. LEGO Marvel Super Heroes, of course, is not out yet, but when it does come out later this year for Xbox 360, PS3, PC, Wii U, Vita, and 3DS, it will have Venom and Human Torch included as playable characters.
I'm a little disappointed that Human Torch looks derpy, but he has a little LEGO six-pack abs, so I'm into that.
You'd prefer he looks less derpy, like, I don't know, maybe Chris Evans?
I'd prefer everything looks like Chris Evans, thanks. I like this little, this Venom, though.
Yeah, I actually have the actual, minifig Venom, and he looks about that awesome. It's pretty rad.
So, we'll link you the joystick article on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
You can let us know if you think that Venom looks awesome, and if you like, Human Torch Legos, little Lego six-pack.
For the love of God, folks, please do not encourage Slagkick. Do not tweet at him about Lego abs.
Lego abs. Hashtag.
Please don't hashtag that.
You want Why to not? This? Facebook's got fashtags. That sounds like fashionable hashtags.
It does. It does. To be fair, six-packs, yo.
Yeah, bro. This is kind of a Captain Spike story because, more Neo Geo X classics will be arriving on June 25th.
And oh, yeah?
That includes Sengoku Metal Slug 2, Top Hunter. Top Hunter sounds like a gay app.
Samurai Showdown 3, Savage Reign, Super Sidekicks 3,
King of Fighters 96, Blazing Star, Kizuna Encounter,
Garo, Mark of the Wolves, Shock Troopers, and World Heroes 2 Jet,
The Last Blade, Blue's Journey, and Art of Fighting 3.
So basically, of those games, you want Metal Slug 2, you want Top Hunter, you want Samurai Showdown 3, you want King of Fighters 96, you want Garo, Mark of Wolves, you want Last Blade, and you do not want Art of Fighting 3.
Yeah, but these are in 5 volumes, so basically you just named at least one from each volume.
Well, that really sucks, and boo on you.
You can also get a mega pack with all of them, which sounds like you'll probably have to do.
Indeed. Next up, and speaking of fighting games, which, in case you weren't aware, most of those Neo Geo games were in fact fighting games,
Neo Geo is kind of a fighting beast.
Indeed. In the upcoming J-Stars Victory Versus, which of course you probably remember as the weekly Shonen Jump fighting game that's going to be coming out later this year for PlayStation 3 in Japan, Himura Kenshin and Ichigo Kurosaki have been officially confirmed as combatants. By which I mean playable characters.
That's cool. I don't really care much about Bleach, but...
No one does anymore.
I like Kenshin, so I think that'll be fun to play as him.
Let's see. Oh, this is one very near and dear to my heart. Akihiko Yoshida-san has been confirmed by Sumi Matsuno-san to be working on the next Bravely Default game.
It's a franchise now.
Woo, 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 woo.
Now all we need is Kotaku to be like, so when's the next one coming over? Come on, guys. Woo.
We have another follow-up here. Shadow of the Eternals. You might remember this as being the follow-up to...
Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem.
Exactly so. We kind of complained a little bit about the Dennis Dyack connection and how we would really like this game to be awesome, but unfortunately we cannot in good conscience throw our money behind it. Apparently, the entire gaming world agrees with us, and as a result, Shadow of the Eternals was seeing very, very little positive feedback as a Kickstarter project, and as such, has been canceled. But fear not, for those of you out there who have no qualms about throwing your money at this madman, I should stay unbiased. For those of you who wish to be optimistic and choose to believe that this game is going to get made, they will be repackaging their crowdfunding platform and attempting to get funding a little bit down the road with different methods of communication about their aims and goals.
Oh, so you mean they're going to take each individual stretch goal and make it its own Kickstarter?
Wow, it's getting dark in here. Shade.wave. You want to take this next one?
Yeah, I do. I actually shouldn't be too excited for this, because it's just Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate. But this is actually kind of cool. Team Ninja has revealed that they'll be putting out a freemium version. It'll have 4 fighters... that includes Kasumi, Ayane, Ryu Hayabusa, and Hayate. And
they actually misspelled Ryu Hayabusa's name here. That's Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, I was wondering why that didn't look quite right.
He's been in other Dead or Alive before, including the Dead or Alive movie, which is awesome, by the way. If you haven't seen it, you need to.
By awesome, do you mean awful?
No, I mean, it's a really, I mean, you know, it's not like a good movie, but it's a lot of fun, and it's not like painful, like it's not,
so it's
not
it's,
Manos.
It's Dead or Alive.
Yeah, it's Dead or Alive. There's a ball, there's a beach volleyball scene.
You'll be able to play all 4 of these characters in every mode except for story mode. Story mode will be $15. You'll be able to buy characters individually for $3.99 each. I saw some people over on Silicon Era being like, well, it just makes more sense to just buy the full game. But someone's like, no, you know, for someone who maybe just kind of wants to check out the game, I mean, this is basically like a fully functional demo. Like, so, I mean, I think that's a cool direction to take, like, the demo sort of thing in. But a lot of people are like, oh, here comes freemium
and
gaming.
And, you know, this is actually a good place to sort of add this in. Namco Bandai quickly followed suit and announced and already have released a Tekken freemium game.
Oh.
It's basically the exact same thing, but with Tekken.
I kind of wish I cared more. Just a second.
Speak into your mic a little more too, dude.
Sorry.
It's all good, just don't let it happen again. Let's see. Oh, you know what? You linked me this news story. I really think you should take it.
So, the city of Alamogordo, New Mexico. It's in New Mexico, right? I'm not good at geography.
I believe so, yes.
That's where the landfill was, right?
Yes.
So that's where the landfill was for E.T., which this is a follow-up to our Shit Games episode. So, you know, in honor of the 30th anniversary of the video game market crash, the city of Alamogordo, New Mexico... has approved a film company, 6 months to dig up the landfill and search for copies of E.T. So I guess they're gonna make like a documentary out of it, and I am hashtag here for that.
Hashtag here for that, hashtag Game Buoy Extra. How do you feel about the excavation of the fabled E.T. landfill.
GameBuoy.org.
What? I mean, yeah, people should go to GameBuoy.org, but...
Yes.
I was talking about tweeting us.
At GameBuoy.org.
Girl. So can you tell we're recording in the middle of the night? Because it just switched over to being June 15th. It's midnight now. So, can you tell? We are a little slap happy. And with that, it is in fact time for...
News. 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 Oh my god. News. So, we finally found out what was inside the Curiosity Cube.
Yeah!
What is that noise you just made? I mean, it wasn't an appropriate reaction, but what was that? It sounded
There was this guy I used to date, and for some reason, anytime he said the word cool, it would come out like,
cool!
But I just made the wrong sound with my voice. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Continue, I'm sorry. What was the prize inside Curiosity?
The prize was a YouTube video. It's actually that, the prize for Curiosity is that, the winner, who was some dude from Scotland, I think, I don't know, you get to be the god of all people playing Goddess, which is G-O-D-U-S, not Goddess, G-O-D-D-E-S-S.
So like not Goddess, not goddess like the Gnome Malone.
Oh my god. We did not plan that, no, but not like the Gnome Malone, unfortunately. It's the next, 22 cans game. So basically,
wait, 22 cans? Like, Toucan Sam?
No, 22 cans, like Peter Molyneux's, company.
So like 22 cans full of crap.
Which was a Kickstarter thing. So basically, Curiosity was basically just viral marketing for the next game.
Viral marketing that people paid microtransactions to progress in. Oh, girl. Alright, well, in any event, congratulations, guy from Scotland, did you say? Brian Henderson of Edinburgh, Scotland. Congratulations. Ah. He will apparently be sharing in the success of the Goddess product.
Oh, yes.
In that every time people spend money on Goddess, Mr. Henderson will be getting a small piece of that pie. Which in this case, pie means money, not actual pie. If I were Brian Henderson, I'd be pissed, because pie is way better than money.
Okay.
Fuck you.
I like pie and money.
I like pie and money. Well said. Something we wanted to talk about, this is actually a few weeks back now. Double Fine has announced their second Kickstarter project.
Cool! No, actually, it looks really cool.
Yeah, it's described as a strategy game inspired by XCOM, Final Fantasy Tactics, Fire Emblem, and Game of Thrones.
I need that right now. I need to go pledge, like, right now on air.
I can't believe you haven't yet. It's up on Kickstarter. As far as I'm aware, they are several times past the goal they needed to make it at this point. The game is called Massive Chalice. Which sounds a little phallic to me, but okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Massive phallus.
And the whole game is going to be structured in, like, two layers of game. Like, there's strategy and tactics. And in, like, the strategy layer, you, like, oversee the kingdom, and you do, like, research and make, like, decisions about your kingdom, arranging marriages and what have you. And then in the tactics part is a little bit more of, like, a war simulation-y aspect.
It's basically a strategy tactic roguelike sim.
Yeah, like, that sounds perfect. Like, Fire Emblem and Civilization had a flipper baby.
Yeah, like, that's kind
here
of a...
for that.
That is what GameBuoy thinks, hashtag here for that.
Yeah, so if that sounds good to you, you should look it up. Massive Chalice, it's already going to get made, but obviously getting it on the ground floor guarantees you a copy earlier than you'd be
getting
otherwise.
You can get a Massive Chalice... I will get a Massive Chalice. I would like a massive challenge.
Why don't you just take
much.
This next one? Because I can't really deal with you talking about dicks all the time like this.
I'm talking about a massive chalice, not a massive phallus.
You are clearly taking it to a phallic place, sir, and that is unacceptable.
You did it first. So, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, not to be confused with The Old Republic, which is the MMO, but the old game, Coder. Coder. Is on iPad now. It's apparently pretty good, too. Game Buoy listener Amanda R. said that she's really enjoying it. But, yeah, you know, I wasn't really super into KOTOR, honestly. I found it a little too slow-paced for me personally, but, you know, it looks like a great port, and it's only $9.99. That's not a lot of money.
$9.99? Are you out of your mind?
That's not a lot of money.
No, excellent.
It's like half the price of a Square Enix game.
No, don't. Girl, don't.
I'm obviously trolling. I think that Square Enix games on iOS are totally worth $19.99. That's a lot of money. So, here's a little cute news. If you are in Japan, konnichiwa, first of all, and
Nintendo has announced a white,
I was getting to it,
32 gig premium set of the Wii U console. You know, this is obviously interesting, as one of the primary complaints that people had when the Wii U pricing scheme was announced, obviously before people got the unit and then got around to complaining about the tech specs, was that you couldn't get a premium set in white. That the premium set was only in black. No, I saw a lot of complaints out there in internet land.
Personally, to me, it seems silly. I'm fine with my black Wii U.
I wanted it black anyway, so it's all the same to me.
You want your Wii U black just like your metal?
Yes. Actually, I'm happy that you took that to a mindless self-indulgence place rather than a phallic place.
I would never. Except I was thinking it.
Lies and slander. Moving on, I want to talk about this one a little bit.
I bet you do.
Square Enix has confirmed that they're going to be publishing a game called Nosgoth. You may be familiar, if you're particularly well-read and or handsome slash beautiful, that Nosgoth is the realm in which the much-loved Legacy of Kain series took place. So yes, you would be correct in assuming that this is in fact a new game related to the Legacy of Kain franchise. But before you get too excited, you should also know that this game is a multiplayer game of some kind, and that Square Enix has gone out of their way to warn people when news of this game leaked before they confirmed it. Basically that people should not be expecting a traditional, Legacy of Kain experience.
Well, at least they're doing something with the IP, though.
I want to believe, but I'm kind of worried that we're just going to get a shitty MOBA out of this. Some sort of League of Legends clone or something. Yeah. To me, just doing the whole multiplayer experience, not a single player, all that. I'm just worried that this is going to be some free-to-play social garbage.
The thing is...
But they're welcome to prove me wrong. The thing is what?
This Nosgoth game is not being developed by Crystal Dynamics, but maybe if this sells well, maybe they'll let Crystal make a Legacy of Kain game.
That hasn't been said anywhere, but certainly I would hope so. That would be delightful. I would be very, very pleased if the Tomb Raider folks, particularly the environmental design people behind Tomb Raider, could make a new Legacy of Kain game. I feel like that would be a really good combination. I feel like that would really have a lot of punch.
I bet the physics would be really good in that.
Well, obviously. Why don't you take this one?
Hashtag Year of Atlas. They are going to be publishing the horror game Daylight on PC and PS4. It's something that sounds really cool, but I probably would be super creeped out by it because I don't do good with scares. you start out the game by waking up in an abandoned hospital. You lost consciousness. You have only a cell phone. You use a source of light. And the thing that I found delightful but also kind of terrible is that if you have a PlayStation Eye, it will take a picture of you the exact moment that a scare happens. So I can't wait to see all of Captain Spike's horrified faces at the scares.
Yeah, I communicate a lot through my face, so...
Captain Spike has some pretty great, like, horrified looks, so... Yeah, now they'll be all captured on the PlayStation Eye camera. No, it sounds really cool. I like seeing Atlas branch out like this, so that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's definitely a good thing, you know, getting your eggs into different baskets and all.
Yeah. They're teaming up with Zombie Studios, and I have to point out that this is actually a 2014 title. It'll be downloadable. So next year will be also hashtag Year of Atlas Continued.
Whoop, whoop.
Also, hashtag Year of Atlas. Do you want to take this next one so that I can share the Atlas love with you?
Atlas is apparently working with God Mode developer...
Saber Interactive.
Thank you. On a RIPD video game. You might be familiar with RIPD as an upcoming movie, which is itself an adaptation of a comic book. I don't know a whole lot about this property, as, you know, information is still a bit sketchy, but it appears to be a third-person shooter.
That sounds cool. I like 3PS.
Yeah, I like the trailer for RIPD quite a bit. So, you know, and I haven't read the book yet, but obviously I'm going to, since I try to read all of these comic books before their movies come out.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the comic, unfortunately, but if Atlas is possibly involved in this, it sounds cool.
Yeah, yeah, I'm definitely excited for it, and will absolutely play it if and when it comes out. Big news for me is that a new Retro Game Challenge game is in development, this time for Nintendo 3DS.
I mean, cool!
We need to stop that now before it becomes a meme. You might be familiar with the previous Retro Game Challenge games, one of which came to North America, localized by Xseed, on the DS.
Yep.
It was a really, really, really incredible game of fake retro games. Just filled with, like, what would almost be called clones of, like, old NES games. But new! I kind of at a loss to really explain it because it's sort of high concept, but it's absolutely worth your time. And hopefully this new 3DS game will come to the US so that we can all play it, enjoy it, and love it.
Yeah, yeah, very cool.
I know you plan on picking this one up, so why don't you tell me about what's next?
Well, that's kind of misleading, because Diablo 3, they have announced Blizzard.
They have announced Blizzard?
Blizzard has announced that it'll be coming to the 360.
Oh?
Yeah, so, cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
I initially was kind of like, really? But... honestly, the footage I've seen, it actually looks like it controls really well on PS3.
So, well, I know they've made some concessions in the game design to make it play better as a console game. So, you know, like, they added a dodge button and stuff. So, you know, maybe it'll, you know, maybe this will actually work out pretty well.
I know it's very controversial because, like, oh, the PC version was just a beta for the console version, blah blah blah.
Yeah, well, I feel like whenever the first expansion for the PC version of Diablo hits, we'll probably get a lot of these changes and additional features included in that. So,
like, oh hey, you can play with a gamepad on your PC.
And, you know, breaking from order a little bit, I just wanted to mention that it was also announced that Diablo 3 for PS3 and PS4 will have exclusive Sony items based on already existent Sony games, such as items based on Nathan Drake from Uncharted and the characters from Journey. I just want to take this moment to point out that it might be worth the price of admission alone to play Diablo 3 with one of the scarves of one of the characters from Journey.
I want to be a monk in PS3 Diablo 3 wearing a Journey like robe. That would just be the best ever.
Yeah, right? So anyone from Sony, if you're out there listening, it's very unlikely that you are. Anyone from Blizzard, if you're listening, it's very unlikely that you are. Please include this feature so that we can give you our money.
Mm-hmm.
This one comes a bit from left field, but I'm very happy about it. Hatsune Miku, Project Diva F, is coming to the West this August. The PlayStation 3 Hatsune Miku game, published in Japan by Sega, is coming out in the U.S. It's very strange. I was not expecting this, especially given that Sega is sort of narrowing down their publishing portfolio here. But this is definitely a real thing that's happening, and you can already grab a demo of Hatsune Miku Project Diva F on the PSN.
Yeah, yours is just about done, bro. 99%.
Yeah, actually, I'm literally downloading it right now.
It's installing right now.
Woot, woot. So that's what we're going to be playing this.
It seems like a very weird choice, I agree. But then I was thinking Hatsune Miku-chan is very popular at Hot Topic.
That's true. And, you know, certainly they have market analysts. They must feel that this is going to be a profitable venture from them in some context. So,
oh, God.
I hope it is. I'm going to buy it. And, you know, let's see how that goes.
Does that mean Vocaloids are going to go mainstream and then, like...
Well, I think, and, you know, maybe this ties into it, I think the English version of Miku is finally supposed to be coming out soon. Like, maybe this August. So maybe that's why they're doing this.
Yeah, I don't want to see, like, people on the internet being like, oh, Vocaloids, I don't know, I'm just being elitist.
You're being really negative tonight. What's going on?
I kind of have an otaku mindset. Not a kotaku, an otaku mindset. I'm not even huge on Vocaloids, but, I mean, I think they're cool, but it just would be really weird to see, like, soccer moms be like, oh yeah, Vocaloids. I don't know. Let's just move on.
All right, Final Fantasy Tactics for iOS now has high-resolution unit graphics.
That's great.
You know, Square Enix has been talking for a long time, like literally it feels like a year, about how they were going to upgrade the unit graphics in Final Fantasy Tactics for iOS, and they finally have. Sort of the headline really tells the whole story there, but
yep.
If you have this game already downloaded, be sure to update it if you're interested and you'd really like to see a prettier version of Final Fantasy Tactics than has ever previously existed, now's your chance!
That's really cool. I know that you've been playing that, and...
I'm a huge fan. I'm actually playing it on Vita right now. I'm not playing it on iOS, but...
Yeah, the PSP
version. Well, the iOS version is also War of the Lions.
No, I know, but the PSP version is what I meant to say.
Yes, that is true.
Excellent. So, Lionhead... will be releasing Fable Anniversary during the holiday season for Xbox 360. It'll be a remake of the original Fable. It'll have achievements, a new UI, nearly instant loading, and smart glass support.
And I don't have anything to say about that. Do you?
No.
Do you know what I do have something to say about? Tales of Symphonia Chronicles has been announced and confirmed for release here in the U.S. This will be a PlayStation 3 port of the GameCube and PS2 Tales of Symphonia games. You know, sort of. That's all we know so far, but we're big fans of HD ports when they're done right, and hopefully this one will be. Would you like to wrap up our news for the week?
Yeah, this is a positive news story to end on.
Yay, you're saying something positive.
Says the person who was complaining about the X-Bone all of last episode.
That is unfair to throw at me.
Even though I agreed.
I apologized. I never apologize for anything.
Girl, you don't gotta re-apologize. Phantasy Star Online 2 for Vita has reached the 500,000 user mark. I didn't realize that many people had Vitas in the world.
So what
Oops,
you're telling
I got
me,
a little negative again.
So what you're telling me is 80% of the people in the world that own Vitas have now downloaded Phantasy Star Online 2.
That's great, though.
No, not literally 80%, but it is great. I'm really happy to see this game find some success. I'm a big fan of the Phantasy Star Online franchise, and obviously I want Vita to succeed and do well, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, two pieces of good news in one.
Poor little Vita deserves some good news.
Indeed. So I think it's time for what you all came here for.
Oh, really?
Yep, it's time for the second annual Game Boy E3 blowout.
I thought you were going to say it's time for a donut.
No, although let the record show that we do in fact have donuts in the other room that are going to be our reward for a podcast well casted.
Unless Space Pirate Ben eats them all.
Which is absolutely a real thing that could happen.
He'll be thrown overboard. All right, so let's get this party started. Well, you know, it's Saturday night. Oh, wait, it's a Friday night.
Girl. So, well, actually, it's a Saturday morning now.
Yes.
I was going to open up each of these little mini discussions, because we're going to sort of divide this up by sort of presentation. And I was going to open each one with a quote. And for Microsoft's quote, I just have blank space.
He really does.
Unfortunately, I feel that this is fitting. But why don't we talk about the bone?
The bone!
Which, of course, is now the term that GameBuie is going to go with for talking about the Xbox One. If it helps you while I'm saying the bone. Imagine, the bone. Like, some, like, meeny, 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 guitars.
Well, it makes me think of Crazy Ira and the Douche.
The Douche!
The Bone!
So, it's probably telling, of course, that we're basically doing everything in our power to not talk about the bone.
That's a first for you.
Girl. I recognize that I left myself wide open for that, but...
You left yourself wide open for the bone?
Let's talk about the games. One that I was actually...
Oh, wait, there were actually games to talk about this time?
It doesn't work if you laugh at your own jokes.
Talk about the games.
Girl, we're super negative. Okay, we need to bring up the energy level. We need to be more positive. Let's talk about D4. You might be familiar with this game by director Swery, who was behind Deadly Premonition, which we talked about during our Shit Games episode, as being kind of a rad game.
Cool. So maybe this will be on a future Shit Games episode as being kind of cool.
It is an episodic...
I'm being optimistic right now.
It is an episodic, over-the-top detective noir game that looks heavily inspired by the works of Suda Goichi.
Oh, okay, that's a good person to take your cues from.
Yeah, you know, especially for this sort of really weird oddball style of almost gonzo game. I feel like that's probably a really, really good role model.
You say gonzo game, and that just makes me want a Transmetropolitan game. Gonzo journalism.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Crazy action.
Totes. I'd play that. Especially if it was like an adventure game, like in the old LucasArts style. I'd be here for that. Let's see. Oh, another one that I was really excited about-ish. Crimson Dragon. You know, previously known as Project Draco. This was the follow-up to...
Wingardium Leviosa!
This was the follow-up to Panzer Dragoon.
Oh, yeah.
Made by staff behind Panzer Dragoon, Phantom Dust. This was originally announced as an Xbox 360 game. It was meant to be a Kinect-only game, although I'm happy to report now that it's Kinect-optional and will, in fact, now support controller control.
Oh, good.
Which is somewhat ironic, considering all... Xbox Ones will have Kinects, but whatever, I'll take it. If I buy an Xbox One, I'll buy Crimson Dragon for sure.
Maybe so people don't feel like they're being spied on when they're playing it. IDK.
Yeah. I'm gonna skip ahead here on my show notes, because I really want to talk about a couple more positive games before we get to the bad.
Okay.
We also had Titanfall, which
has a lot of really good buzz and looked like a pretty alright game.
Yeah, not necessarily the type of thing I would usually go for, necessarily, but...
Me neither, but, you know, speaking of games I wouldn't normally go for, there was also a pretty great trailer for Halo.
That looks really cool, but...
It was like Master Chief as a desert nomad, and then this giant, cool alien robot dragon rises up out the sand. I actually was kind of into the art design of that a lot, although I have talked here on the show about my flirtations with Halo 4's art design.
Yeah, Halo is not a console seller for me. I don't know if I'm kind of skipping ahead, but...
Yeah, let's see.
It looked cool, I agree.
We had Project Spark, which looked to be like sort of a riff on the entire... play, create, share thing that Sony has going on over with
Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet at all, exactly. Were you into the Project Spark trailer at all?
It looked neat. You know, I kind of tried. It was very difficult for me to stay focused during Microsoft's.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I was. It was difficult for me to try to find something interesting, honestly. I was mostly amused by other stuff.
Yeah. I recognize that this podcast so far has probably been a little bit difficult to listen to. But please look forward to us talking about the PlayStation 4 and Wii U, because things will get much more lively and much more awesome. You just sort of have to get the bone out of the way. So, other stuff I was excited for. Let's see, Sunset Overdrive looked pretty alright.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I'm always here for Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Thankfully not an exclusive.
Speaking of not an exclusive, Witcher 3 looked really good, too.
Yeah, a lot of people seemed into it. I haven't played the first two yet, but, you know, I have them on Steam. I've heard really good things about both of them, so...
I'm going to go a little bit out of order here, but do you want to know something really interesting about The Witcher 3?
What's that?
So the people who make it are based out of Poland.
Oh.
Which is, in fact, not a territory in which The Bone is launching this year.
That's interesting.
And as a result, because The Bone cannot be used in any region in which it's not officially supported, even if you import a console from somewhere else, the people who are making Witcher 3 in Poland could not actually play their own game on their own consoles at home.
That's really sad.
Yeah. Which is obviously the segue to our less good portion of this discussion.
I thought you liked one more game.
Oh, Below.
Yeah.
Below looked really good, actually. Yeah, Below looked really good. I'm a big fan of Capybara Games, the Swords and Sorcery EP guys. It looks like they're taking some riffs from the genre of roguelike games and meets like Zelda and...
Yeah, it looks like a cute little...
It looks really good.
Cute little thing.
Yeah, it looked really good. I'm not going to be negative. It looked very good.
No, I didn't mean that...
Wish it wasn't a Bone exclusive.
I didn't mean that in a patronizing way at all.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it. I must have blocked it out of my mind because I actually think that game looks superb, and if I were going to buy an Xbox One, it would probably be for Below. I was a little iffy on the Forza 5 trailer.
Yeah, I feel like you had, kind of concerned about the direction that Forza was gonna go in, during the X-Bone reveal.
Yeah, I like the Forza games a lot when they're very rally and fun, and I can't help but be concerned when they're sort of... taking it to this Project Gotham sort of showy, more serious place. But, you know, to be fair, that does exist, that sort of design does exist in the DNA of the Forza series, and it's really just them picking up a thread that I'm less interested in.
Yeah.
So Killer Instinct.
I know a lot of people were like, whoop, for that, but... Are we going to talk about the terrible thing that happened during...
It sounds to me like you really want to.
I just don't know if there's a later
time to talk about that.
Not in this episode. So if you want to reference it, now's the time. Now's the time. Do the do.
Now, I need to find the...
Let this happen.
Need to find the quote for this. So why don't you talk about what you think about Killer Instinct first?
Well, if I'm being honest, my biggest concern with the Killer Instinct remake that was announced at Microsoft's E3 press event is that it's being developed by Double Helix Games. You might be familiar with Double Helix Games from such failures in the marketplace as Silent Hill Homecoming, G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, Front Mission Evolved, Green Lantern Rise of the Manhunters, or Battleship the Movie The Game The Game.
Wait, Battleship the Movie The Game is a
real thing? To be fair, that's not what it was called. I'm being sort of facetious about the fact that it's the game based on Battleship the Movie, which is in fact based on Battleship the Game.
So shouldn't it be Battleship the Game, the Movie the Game?
Yes, okay, my shade was wrong. It's like 1240. Cut me some slack.
Okay, so I have the, full quote here.
Okay, so why don't you tell me what bothered you?
So
my problem with the Killer Instinct reboot, real quick, is that while this is a property that we commonly associate with Rare, whom, frankly, I'm not certain has it in them to make a compelling fighting game in the first place at this point in their career, the game is not actually being handled by them. It's being handled by what is effectively a, like, B-tier studio that I do not have faith in. Certainly, I don't think that the marketplace always supports good games, and it's absolutely possible that, you know, Double Helix could have been a great studio. I have played some of the games I just mentioned and listed, and I was not really a fan of any of them. Mm-hmm. Though, admittedly, Homecoming had its moments. None of them were really rooted in the gameplay or game design. So, that is my concern and worry and fear with Killer Instinct. Why don't you share with me yours?
So, they had some producers on stage to demo Killer Instinct for X-Bone. The Bone. And, it was already off to a bad start because she was kind of not doing so well, the female producer. And, he was like, oh, you're playing it like a girl or whatever, which is already, like, totally fucked up. But then,
Did he say that? I didn't even catch that. That makes it even worse.
The article I'm looking at says that he,
Yeah, I was watching it live and
I'm sorry. There was apparently a blog post that said that she was playing like a girl, so that's problematic.
Was it an official Microsoft?
No, sorry. Anyway, so she's like, oh, I can't block correctly. Like, you're moving too fast. He's just like, oh, well, just let it happen. It'll be over soon. And a lot of people are interpreting this as a rape joke. And apparently, enough people have been outraged by this, and I think they have every right to be outraged, that Microsoft issued an apology, but basically just said that it was not scripted and that it was meant to be friendly gameplay banter, which included things like, oh, you have a fight stick. And he said, wow, you like those.
Girl.
And then she said, no, I don't like this.
I have to say, when I was watching this trailer, and I've heard a lot of back and forth from both sides about how this was a rape joke or this was not a rape joke. I have to say, when I watched this live, I was stunned that he had said that, because I did take it to a rape place.
For the record, I did too.
I appreciate that, whether this was scripted or not, and certainly I was under the impression that it was scripted, though I recognize that Microsoft says now that it wasn't. I really have to say, I have a hard time accepting that you could hear a man say that to a woman and not, if you're being thoughtful and considerate about the circumstance, truly it sounds like a dominating, him asserting himself on her sort of thing. And I did find it problematic. That having been said, I want to give the benefit of the doubt, and I've been looking for a way to do so. And frankly, I haven't found one. This to me seems like a really, really poor choice. I feel like if they couldn't do a representation on stage of fun banter, maybe they should have just not done banter on stage, because there's not really a place, there shouldn't be a place in this industry or presentations like this for sort of this level of aggressiveness within sort of, you know.
It just really doesn't do much to help what I feel Microsoft, Xbox kind of has an image as like the Dude Bros console, and this doesn't help it at all.
No, I absolutely agree, and, you know, I did find these problematic. I do see how someone who was prone to being triggered to unpleasant thoughts and considerations would be triggered by this statement. So even if they had the best of intentions, and truly I think they did, I at least do think that they didn't maybe explicitly mean it in an actual rape sense. I do think that as a result of rape culture and misogyny, institutionalized misogyny, I do think it plays that way, and I do think that that's where it had its roots, and that is why I do think it was a problematic comment.
That's basically what I was going to say, but you said it a lot more eloquently. And I think we're really going to have a woman in gaming episode very soon, because
we've said that for like 4 months. Yeah, we'll
yeah, because you know, I mean, just the culture that that people in the industry, people in the gaming community create. But anyways, we don't
moving forward, because we're talking about Microsoft and the bone right now. How did you feel about Rise, Son of QuickTime Event? I'm sorry, I mean Son of Rome.
Looked dude colon bro-ish.
Yeah, I wasn't super into it.
It looked alright. But, you know, it wasn't like enough to catch my interest, and I kind of feel that's like my overall impression of Microsoft's presentation.
Yeah, I was not at all impressed by Rise, Son of Rome. I didn't think it looked good. What did you think about Rare's new project, Kinect Sports Rivals?
It is just so sad that Rare has turned into a Kinect Sports studio.
Yeah,
especially when one of their former IPs, which we'll be talking about in a few minutes, is gonna be super good, we think so.
So, can I talk for a minute? And yeah, I might get a little ranty for a minute. I can't help it. About last and least, Dead Rising 3.
Ooh.
So, and you know, I'm gonna talk not just within the context of this press event, but I'm also gonna talk about revelations that were revealed later. And sort of synthesize it into my entire problem with Dead Rising 3.
And
many continue what?
And I have a feeling, because I agree, that this goes beyond it being an X-Bone exclusive.
No, that's fine. I mean, frankly, I wanted the Bone to have some exclusive.
Frankly, Frank West.
Girl.
I tried.
I wanted the Bone to have some exclusives that would make me want one, because, you know, it almost hurts me to have a console be on the market that I don't own. I'm not a big fan of that. It just gives me this anxiety that a good game is going to come out on a console that I don't have.
Mm-hmm. At first, when they were like, Dead Rising 3, where you were like, oh, woo! Snap. Were you like, oh, snap.
I was. And then I started watching this trailer, you know, and it's like, oh, wait, this game's not very colorful at all. What is all of this brown? Why does this look like a first-person shooter boring-ass crap game?
Why does it look so gritty, bro? Yeah.
Like, where is the whimsy? I need a guy in a banana hammock running around with a Mega Man helmet.
If you want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, who wouldn't?
And then, you know, I saw that they were making a big deal about, oh, I can pull out my iPad and call in an airstrike on these zombies because there's too many zombies down there. And I'm like, girl, like, there's like 40 zombies down there. Like,
just get a chainsaw and go like,
that's a trip to the orange juice stand in Dead Rising 1. Like, I killed more zombies in Dead Rising 1 in 5 minutes of Dead Rising 1 than, you know, that could possibly have had.
When we were doing the multiplayer, the two-player co-op one, Case West, is that the subtitle?
I think Case West?
There were more zombies in like the hospital or the cafeteria or wherever we were.
So yeah, it's like basically, and again, I'm going to get
Case West a lot, by the way.
I did too. I'm going to get to the really awful part in a moment, but it's like basically they took
everything
that was fun and special about Dead Rising. And turned it into a generic dude bro game. And the reason this upsets me is because it was later revealed, in fact, that the goals in the design of Dead Rising 3 was very specifically to capture the attention of the Call of Duty audience. They very specifically took out some of the more Japanese-y, sort of more challenging features, like the rigid time system. They took out a lot of the fun, whimsical things so that people would take it more serious and dark.
That's not what Dead Rising's about.
Well, it is now. It was discussed that this game was sort of resurrected, that it was not going to happen without Microsoft's involvement. Not entirely dissimilar to Bayonetta 2, over at Nintendo. My problem, of course, is that apparently in this pact with the devil, what made Dead Rising special and worth playing has now been completely diluted into just another crappy zombie game. And so that is why, when I think of the most disappointing moment of the Bone Conference, all I can think about is Dead Rising.
Well, you know what else is going to be different about Dead Rising 3?
What's that?
No Keiji Inafune-san.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. Inafune-san's out. He's off making his own fun, whimsical games.
Yep, concept.
Oh, hey, you know what else was disappointing about the Bone event? $499!
$499?
That's a lot of money! So this console, everything we feared was true. All of the DRM stuff, all of the, you get a disc, you can't trade it. You can't loan it to your friends. To some degree, there is going to be a Xbox family function where you can designate people as family and let them play your games when you're not playing them. We don't know all of the details of this system yet.
If someone's on your friend list for at least 30 days, you can loan them the game, but you can only loan it once.
That's give them the game. You don't get it back. That's a pretty important distinction in that context.
So yeah, you can give a friend a game.
Forever. So, you know, basically everything we ever feared about Xbox One is true. None of their franchises are super appeal to us here at Game Buoy Studios, except for Below, which looks super, super good.
Yeah.
Crimson Dragon, while it looked kind of like a mess, I still want to support it because I really like the guys behind it.
Yeah.
That having been said, I think it's time to move on to greener pastures.
Yes, let's.
So, let's talk about a really incredible moment in the Sony conference when they showed a fake commercial wherein they demonstrated this is how you share your games on PS4.
Loved it!
For those of you not playing at home and are just listening to this, basically, Sony absolutely spat in the face of Microsoft and the issues we were just discussing and straight up showed a video of one Sony higher-up just handing a physical disc to one of the other Sony higher-ups while doing, like, thumbs up, like, this is how you loan a game out.
Go in, like, After Effects and add, like, freaking troll faces over them.
Yeah, right. It was a very troll face moment.
It was very Japanese trolling.
That was the minute. If I'm being honest, that was the minute I knew I had to have a PlayStation 4. And, you know, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about this in sort of our wrap-up of this discussion, but I have already pre-ordered my PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed with this conference. Most years I come out saying, oh, Nintendo won this one. This year I don't think Nintendo won. I think they took a very, very close second, which obviously we will get to. I'm cutting ahead a little bit. But overall, I was very happy with Sony's press event.
The thing is that, you know, with a new console generation, it's, you know, when they are revealing and up to before the launch, that's an important E3. And so this was an important E3 for Microsoft and Sony.
They both swung. They both swung for the home run. Microsoft, like, they didn't even get, like, a foul. Like, they didn't catch the ball. Like, that was just a straight strike. Third strike, maybe. They're out. Like, sorry, dog. Sony was, like, grand slam. Like, straight up, three runners on base, out of the park. Everyone who was cheering, literally cheering during their event. You watch replays of this event from Sony's official feed, and contrast it to Microsoft's official feed of their event.
I saw a great mashup video of that.
And it's almost upsetting. Like, I felt bad for Microsoft.
It's a little embarrassing.
Like, Microsoft, like, they're getting, like, very scattered, very light, polite
some
applause.
Some people thought they might have heard, like, boos starting.
And then you listen to Sony's, and, like, you'd think you were at a rock show. People are, like, going crazy, cheering and clapping and
it
screaming.
Because I was watching it live. I did not watch Microsoft's live. I watched it after the fact.
I watched Microsoft's live, and I watched the last portion of Sony's live.
Oh, man, I watched all of Sony's.
And then I went back and watched the rest of Sony's, because after that ending, I had to see it all.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and start talking, because there's a lot of...
Let's talk about these indie games.
I want to start off before you talk about the indies.
Oh, I'm gonna kill you, girl. What do you want to talk
just,
about?
I thought it was great that, as Captain Spike and I are gonna be talking about.
Oh, I just want to mention that the first thing they talked about was, like, current gen stuff. They're doing a GTA 5, bundle set for PS3, and they talk about some upcoming PS3 games.
They showed a little
Vita.
We're
not gonna cover that too much here. That's not really, I'm sure people were really excited to see that. It wasn't us. We were mainly here to hear about next gen.
Yeah, and they said, oh, you know, the Vita's gonna really, we're going to, like, really push for the Vita PS4.
And then they didn't really show anything, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway. For Vita. So, one thing that I want to talk about before we specifically talk about the games is how much time Sony devoted to their indie games.
Ties in perfect to what I was going to say.
It's amusing because they showed something about sports that was literally, like, less than a minute. So they spent the amount of time that Microsoft spent on sports in the Xbox reveal.
Oh, we didn't
on
even
indies.
Talk about how long Microsoft wasted with sports.
And Microsoft talking about indies in their E3 conference was, we're bringing Minecraft to the bone.
That and below.
And that's about how much time Sony spent on sports in this conference, because they spent a lot of time talking about indies, which was great.
And I want to go down this list, because, you know, not only did Sony talk about all of these games got focus time, indie creators were brought up on stage and allowed to talk, even when they were being charmingly, delightfully awkward, and clearly programmer types that don't know how to present to a conference of however many thousands of people. But, you know, they talked to the folks behind Bastion, who are now going to be making Transistor.
Oh, that looks so good.
They talked to the folks behind Don't Starve. They announced and showed and talked to the people behind
Secret Ponchos.
Of course, Outlast. Also, Mercenary Kings, a game which I had backed on Kickstarter and am very excited about. You know, they talked to the folks behind the Oddworld HD remake, which we later found would be coming to multiple platforms, basically everything that isn't Xbox 360 and the bone, including Wii U.
Yes, because Xbox the bone is not going to be very supportive at all
of the indie scene. Yeah, in fact, we do know that. Although, my understanding after the conferences all died down was that Microsoft is now sort of considering ways to outreach to the community. So, you know, good job picking up.
Backpedaling. It's what Microsoft's going to be doing all generations.
Good job backpedaling to where Sony and even Nintendo are way, way ahead of you now. Let's see. We also saw Octodad, Galax-Z, which looked really fun, and Raise the Dead.
Clever.
All of these games looked really good. I'm going to buy pretty much all of them.
I love how, so not only is Sony very supportive of indie game developers and wants the PS4 to be very open and fostering that, but, you know, they took the time to highlight them, like you said.
Yeah, that, it was really special to me. It really said a lot about their focus here and how seriously they're taking good old-fashioned, like, games.
Yeah.
You know, they doubled down on restating that owners, they believe in owners' rights, they have faith in gamers as a community, supporting software, and having a relationship with their consumer base based on trust and mutual respect. They just hit all the right notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they talked about how a lot of these indie games are going to get focused on with the PlayStation Plus promotion.
That's great.
Several of them will be featured games that you'll be able to get and play as a Plus subscriber. As an aside, Drive Club, which was discussed during the original PlayStation 4 reveal, we talked about that a couple months back now, will have a free version available at PlayStation 4 launch for Plus subscribers.
That's cool, because I'm a Plus subscriber.
Me too, and I would not have bought Drive Club, but I'll play the free version, and if I like it, maybe that'll become a sale.
Yeah, cool.
So good on you, Sony. There are two quick games I want to mention real quick.
I'm glad, because we need to get to the exciting stuff.
I want to get these two out the way. Do you know which two they are?
It's Elder Scrolls Online, which is going to have a exclusive beta, from what I understand.
That is my understanding. I wasn't paying super close attention. I was getting some wasabi peas or something, IDK.
Ooh, delicious. And a trailer for a game called The Order 1866, which...
Nope.
It looked cool.
I actually thought that game looked really good. I would have liked to have seen some gameplay or even some indication of what the game's going to play like.
Yeah, but it got overshadowed by some announcements.
But I'm absolutely here for steampunk magicians fighting werewolves.
Unfortunately.
The other game I wanted to get out of the way was Destiny!
You know, one thing I have to say about Destiny is that how Bungie was making it very clear about how they want to partner with Sony. It's like, kind of like, in your face, Microsoft.
LOL, right? I thought it looked good. I'm hoping that you buy it, because I'm definitely gonna buy it.
I was on the fence before, honestly, but now I'm like, yeah, I think it actually looks pretty good. It sounds like they really...
It's like Halo had a flipper baby with, like, Borderlands.
That's kind of what
some other game that's actually good, like maybe WoW or something, because it's like a persistent world, too, so...
Yeah.
I'm super into it. I'm absolutely here for that. And but several people I know are going to buy it, so I'm going to buy it.
Destiny, not to get sidetracked on a recent Activision Blizzard news, but the way that Destiny, when it was first described to me, I'm kind of like, oh, that's what the rumors for Project Titan, what a lot of people thought it would be like.
Well, and you know, it's funny
And that might be part of the reason why Project Titan has gone back to the drawing board.
Literally exactly what I was just going to say.
Why I didn't want to go too much in the active Blizzard news, but...
Well played, slag kick. So, probably the biggest news ever that has ever happened at this E3, and the last several E3s, I would argue, would have to be the grand re-unveiling of Final Fantasy Versus 13.
15!
So I'm going to eat my hat on this one. I have said steadfastly here on this program, on air, you have me in the archives, I couldn't possibly deny it. I did not think that Square Enix would leave behind the Versus branding after all of the money they put into promoting it. But they absolutely have. It is on like Donkey Kong. Versus 13 is now Final Fantasy 15. It's going to be available on PlayStation 4 and also the Bone, we later found out. But it was shown front and center at the Sony event. It looked
good.
There was straight up gameplay.
And a lot of people were saying, originally it wasn't going to be 15, so does this mean that they're going to be action-based? And they're like, it's Final Fantasy 15. It's going to be an action RPG. That doesn't mean that...
All of our games change. All of them have different battle systems, and this is where it's at now. They confirm that there may be...
I love a good action RPG, so...
Me too. They confirm that there may be additional stories set in this universe. That seems really obvious to me at this point.
In the Versus world.
So,
And so it might kind of get the 13 treatment, except people probably won't complain, because they've been wanting this for years.
And then Nomura-san, who was on Satellite Feed... announced that they had one more trailer for us.
Kind of not really a big deal, right?
I am surprised I'm still alive, because I basically had a heart attack when they announced Kingdom Hearts 3.
Did you cry?
I got weepy. I'm not even gonna lie. I cannot hear the instrumental version of Hikari, Simple and Clean, and not have emotional feelings based on sort of the second half of the first Kingdom Hearts game.
I didn't get weepy, but even that instrumental theme of Simple and Clean it lifted my heart and my spirits. I was just like overjoyed.
Yeah, it's not how Sony ended their conference, because they really ended it with Destiny. Well, actually, they ended it with the announcement that they're launching at a price point of
$399. $399? That's not a lot of money.
That's not a lot of money. It's not a lot of money enough that I already have one pre-ordered.
Like we said, we're going to talk about, are you going to get it or whatever later, but, I guess we're talking about it now. You've already said you pre-ordered. I was texting Captain Spike while we were watching the end of it simultaneously, because it was streamed live. I was like, okay, I'm really into this. You know, I had talked on the PlayStation event, Sony meeting, I'm sorry, the Sony meeting episode about, you know, that I'm actually really interested in a PS4. So at this point, I was so hyped for it that I was like, okay, if they announce a $399 price point, I'm pre-ordering. And then they're like, $399. And I'm like, oop, refreshing Amazon, pre-ordered.
Yep, me too. Right there, the moment it went up, I was in like Flynn.
Flynn, as in Flynn's Arcade?
Let's not do that.
What? Tron's freaking awesome, dude.
No, Tron is awesome, but moving forward.
Or maybe you mean Flynn Rider from Tangled. Cute movie.
I got weepy
during Tangled, but let's move on.
You got weepy during Tangled, but not the Kingdom Hearts 3 trip? Get on Disney Cast Pod or something. Like, what are you doing on Game Buoy, girl? So, big fans of Sony's event. We're definitely going to talk a little bit more about this a little later on in the episode today.
Yeah.
But now I want to talk about Nintendo, for whom, quote, end quote, it's all about the games.
And let's start by talking about Pokemon X and Y.
So there's a new type of Pokemon in X and Y. They're fairies!
Fairies! I wonder if Tingle will be a Pokemon.
It seems very unlikely. Let's see, they also announced Art Academy U.
Which actually, I thought the Art Academy handheld titles were like, oh, that's cute, but I saw like what they were showing the demos of and how it's kind of, it was inspired by all the great Miiverse art. I just was like, wow, I was kind of impressed by, and I mean, it's...
Yeah, it looks like you're going to be able to post your stuff right up on Miiverse too.
And, you know, honestly, some people might be like, oh, well, it just looks like Photoshop tools. But I mean, I think that's just really cool. I really was like, wow, some of this art looks really cool with these drawing tools and stuff. I think it was more for me about the evolution of the Art Academy franchise, and so that's what I found impressive.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited for Art Academy U, and I didn't think I would have been. If you had told me a week ago that I'd be excited for Art Academy U, I would have been like, girl, are you high? But no, actually, I really am. I'm gonna buy it for sure. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Okay, so now can we talk about the game during E3 that made me weepy?
That depends. Is it Super Mario 3D World?
When they showed Princess Peach and Toad and Mario and Luigi, I got a little weepy.
Let the record show that I'm laughing super hard.
Obviously, this is not the 3D Mario game that people were hoping would be announced. But honestly, I think it's a brilliant idea to evolve the Super Mario 3D Land game into a franchise. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think it'll be really interesting to see it multiplayer. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's another multiplayer game. We already got that with New Super Mario Bros. U. First of all, New Super Mario Bros. U is probably the best 2D Mario game since Super Mario World.
I think probably anyone who had an open mind and played it would probably agree.
And that said, you can play all of those. You can play New Super Mario Bros. U as one player. you can play Super Mario 3D World as one player. So, I mean, who's saying that, oh, I've got to play it multiplayer? I am just beyond thrilled that they're taking cues from Mario 2, that, you know, Peach. Finally, that was my big criticism with New Super Mario Bros. U, is that, and with Super Luigi U, which is coming up, that Peach was excluded in favor of another Toad. Well, that was true for New Super Mario Bros. Or Nabbit, and that was true for New Super Mario Bros. Wii, right?
That was true for all of the New Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, so like, oh, two Toads. So I am beyond thrilled that Peach is back. She's got her floaty physics. Toad's going to be super fast and like kind of for like hardcore speed runs, time challenges, time attack or whatever. Luigi's got his jump, of course. Mario's kind of just a well-rounded dude.
You know, I'm a I'm gonna say something. I really want to sort of hash this out on air as I work through it myself. You bring up an interesting point. The Mario game that we were all hoping for would have been a follow-up, a successor, a sequel even, to the Mario Galaxy titles.
Well, and by which
and
you
I
kind
say
of
this, I say this meaning, and the word that gets thrown around a lot is epic. I was looking for super intense, designed, like, demanding, really, really
well,
sort of specialized, quote-unquote, hardcore,
what you were looking,
huge looming environments, like crazy visual effects and sort of feats of the imagination
that previously have been heretofore
unseen.
And what a lot of people were expecting is the evolution of what started with Super Mario 64 and then Sunshine, Galaxy 2.
Basically, yes. And my problem is that this is sort of a branch from earlier in that family's DNA. It feels like, which is itself truly growing in its own direction. So what I wanted was a further evolution of design and mechanic that Nintendo has been refining for the last 15 plus years.
Oh my goodness,
And I do agree. I think that we'll get that. I do not think that Super Mario 3D World precludes the future existence of a Super Mario universe. I do know that I had to really recalibrate my own expectations and feelings before I could fairly judge Mario 3D World. When it was first announced, I was not weepy. I was actually disappointed and like, really? What is this crap, though? Like, this looks like an up-resed 3DS game. This is not special. This is, cash in. Which, these are not thoughts that normally cross my mind.
And then you saw the cat suits.
No,
meow, meow, bitch.
Okay, although their little meows are super cute, and I'm probably gonna, in the future, just call this game Super Mario Cats. Yeah, but
Super
Mario. I was initially pretty disappointed because, you know, I'm a big fan of the quote unquote hardcore game designs, and I will go to bat that two of the most hardcore games I played in the last 5 years were the first Bayonetta and Super Mario Galaxy.
Two
was also super, super good, but anyway.
You said two was a little more hardcore, but anyway.
Anyway, my point being, that was what I was expecting. It isn't what I was getting. So initially I had negative feelings. But now watching sort of the really great developer commentary videos that Nintendo put up during their E3 coverage, watching gameplay, because all of these games Nintendo showed had playable game demos on the show floor at E3. I've really come to appreciate that this looks like a true evolution of this new branch of 3D Mario.
Yeah.
And I think that that's great. I think that this is a good thing. You know, there are those who think that the franchise is becoming watered down or it's becoming too ubiquitous.
Spread too thin.
For me, as long as the game is good, and this game certainly looks good, as long as it has clever ideas and new designs and sort of new challenging different experiences, I am on board. And everything I have seen since this game was announced indicates that I am not going to be disappointed. So, overall, I've come around. I'm very excited.
Excellent.
For Super Mario 3D World. I just had to let myself get over the initial disappointment of not having my expectation met.
Yeah. I mean, what I just have to say is I think that we now just have three kind of mainline Mario series. We've got the 2D new Super Mario Brothers. We've got the Mario 64, Sunshine, Galaxy, kind of that mainline 3D platforming series. And now we've got Super Mario 3D, Land World.
Can whatever. I just say also, and I'm going to append something you're saying because I think it's worth mentioning.
There are, of course, many, many, many more Mario series, but I kind of think these are kind of seeming like the...
I appreciate that this series has changed the traditional font used in the Mario game titles to include a pink letter representing Peach's representation in the game. I think that that's awesome. I think it's really incredible that Nintendo is being really progressive and pushing up front there, you know, mm-hmm. a female character in the sort of spotlight. And if you're pulling up images of the box art and title, it's the O is now pink.
Excellent.
So, I'm just pleased as punch. Well done, Nintendo. And with that having been said, would you like to talk about Mario Kart Mobius Strip? Mario Kart 8?
Yeah. You know, I was less blown away by,
Yes! Oh my god! Keep going! You're keeping all of this in. All of it. Go.
I was so blown away by 3D World that I was like, oh, yes, new Mario Kart, but I wasn't, like, weeping at it. But,
I would hope not. That would be a sad life.
Driving up ramp, straight up vertical ramps, upside down.
If you haven't seen the new gimmick to Mario Kart 8 is that the wheels now have hover car functionalities, so you can effectively drive up walls. This, of course, looks really rad, and sort of the emblematic track design is actually the Mobius Strip level, which is, of course, why I made that joke.
Yeah.
It is, of course, in the shape of a Mobius Strip, which from overhead just looks like an 8, and you race over it and under it in exactly the way that you would expect a Mobius Strip to flow.
I'm just looking forward to some creative levels. I hope we see some great DLC. I would love to see classic tracks. I mean, there's, of course, going to be, like, the retro cups or... What do they usually call those?
Either retro or classic cups?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm certain that they will still have those on disc, but I'm hoping that they'll be like, oh, this week we have Baby Park up for Mario Kart 8.
If Baby Park is not already in the game, I'll be super mad. I love Baby Park.
Baby Park is one of my favorite tracks. It's so simple, but, you know, you just, like, I loved Double Dash.
Well, you really have to play to the metal, because it's so basic and so straightforward that you kind of have to have your shit,
like,
together.
You gotta grind.
You gotta believe!
So let's move on to DK.
Donkey Kong. And the search for the mystical Slurpee. I mean, DK Tropical Freeze.
It's Tropical Freeze just sounds like a slushy with, like, alcohol in it. Hashtag Game Buoy Extra. What do you think would be the ingredients in a Tropical Freeze?
That's actually a really good Game Buoy Extra. We don't typically get people that participate in these Game Buoy Extras, but I'm quite serious. Tweet gamebuoy.org with your ingredients to a Tropical Freeze, because
with
I would love to see
Game
it.
Buoy Extra.
With hashtag Game Buoy Extra.
And who knows, maybe we'll drink it on air.
In fact, I'm going to go you one further. Whatever you list in this drink, as long as it's not toxic, we will drink it.
I figured we would choose the one that we thought was the most befitting of being called.
Girl, let's be real. We're going to get one recipe, maybe two. We'll drink them both. Want it to be one of yours? You better submit.
Hashtag Game Buoy Extra. Watch, everyone's going to do it just to get us
shit-faced. Then we're going to get super drunk on air and everybody still wins.
Yeah, but it'll be a terrible morning afterwards.
I don't care. That's why we record on the
weekend.
So
Tropical Freeze.
Game looks good. Level designs that we saw look good. I'm very excited that David Wise, the composer for the original Donkey Kong Country games, is back on doing the music for this one.
And this is what I was hinting at earlier when I was like, hey, isn't it interesting that one of Rare's former franchises has a new game coming out that looks great?
And honestly, it is. It's pretty funny.
And they're doing Kinect Sports Resort. I know that's not what it's called, but it's basically the answer to Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone would argue you that.
So, yeah, DK. I'm glad that, you know, that these new Donkey Kong Country games seem to be coming together really well.
Yeah, have you played Donkey Kong Country Returns yet?
No.
It's, like, super, super, super good.
And, oh, one thing that might be notable for fans of Donkey Kong Country is that Dixie Kong will be a playable character.
Yeah, well, you know, and this is something else I wanted to touch on, is that, once again, Nintendo being really progressive and bringing back playable female characters to the franchise. You know, in a time where this is sort of an issue, it's a hot topic, I think it's really cool that Nintendo is the one that's really stepping up and, you know, playable females. Enjoy. Have fun. So,
yeah,
hats off to you, Nintendo.
Aonuma-san, if you're listening, we would like to play as Zelda, just not in Wands of Gamelon. My boy!
Yeah, I'm not going to do the my boy thing, but I do agree. I would totally play a Zelda game.
Mm-hmm.
I'd even take a Sheik Zelda game. Ideally, a character action game made by Platinum.
Speaking of fierce females in Platinum games,
Bayonetta 2!
No one said you could touch.
So, Bayonetta is back. We had new trailers. They had playable demo out on the show floor. I have to mention, the demo, as beautiful as it was, 60 frames a second and 1080p resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Bayonetta, all of these Wii U games, insofar as I'm aware, running in 60 frames a second at 1080p resolution. So, I think that we're finally at a point now where we can say, if people don't feel that it's truly next gen in terms of graphics, you know, the Wii U, it's at least better than current gen.
Yeah.
You know, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 both struggled to run Bayonetta. They both had screen tearing issues and frame rate drops. You know, and they didn't, neither of them, that game did not have nearly as much going on as Bayonetta 2 has. So, if nothing else, showcase title. That having been said, man, the game looks great. They added new combat mechanics, and Bayonetta has a bitchin' new haircut.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for any... There were people who were like, oh, Nintendo's gonna tone her down. Like, the first shot you get of her in the trailer is a crotch shot. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, sexualization of females or whatever, but, you know, Bayonetta's very playful.
Here, why don't you continue, and then I'll touch.
I think you're probably going to touch on the same thing, is that Bayonetta is very comfortable with her sexual elements. And
well, yeah, no, she owns it. She is not being put on display for men. She is on display because that's how she rolls, that's what she's comfortable with, and if you're not comfortable with it, fuck you.
And let's be honest, Kamiya-san's kind of a dude, bro.
Well, he is, but...
You know what his favorite thing at E3 was?
Don't fuck with the witch!
Do you know what Kamiya-san's favorite thing at E3 was?
What's that?
The babes. Do you know what his second thing at E3 was?
What?
The babes. This is all on Kamiya-san's Twitter.
Oh, Kamiya-san.
He gives me life.
The babes.
Yeah. So, yeah, obviously, we were already on board, but, you know, glad to see that, you know,
Great. It still has the same sense of frivolity. It's still, you know, really hardcore, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like an absolute step up from the first Bayonetta, which if you had told me previously was going to be the case, I would have said, no, sir, you are shitting me.
Right?
And now instead it's like, no, that looks like a step up. This is kind of incredible.
You know what really, what I really liked? I think it was during the developer video for Bayonetta 2, which these are all on YouTube. If you're really into watching game developers,
I highly recommend it. All of the Nintendo game developer videos were super, super good.
I don't remember, was it, Inaba-san talking about it? Someone.
It probably would have been Inaba-san, yeah.
Saying that, he was saying.
Or Hashimoto-san.
It might have been Hashimoto-san, I don't remember, but one of them was saying that Bayonetta was the pinnacle of, action gaming. Which is, some people might be like, oh, that's just really arrogant and cocky, but no, it really kind of was.
He didn't lie.
And I think that's awesome, just in the same way that Bayonetta is a confident bitch. I mean bitch in a good way. Like a fierce bitch.
I don't
bitch.
Know that, okay.
Sorry. I have a lot of problems with the word bitch, typically, but I'm like, girl, she a fierce bitch.
No, she's definitely fierce. She is awesome, and she owns it, and she is being in total control of herself.
Yes. And so are Platinum Games. So, Bayonetta 2, 2014, eagerly await.
Look forward to it.
2014 will be another hashtag year of Platinum.
And I just want to point out, you know, there's been a lot of buzz on the rumor mill. And so this is speculation. I want this clearly denoted speculation. I really do expect that we're going to get a Wii U port of the first Bayonetta on eShop soon-ish.
I hope so. Running in 1080p, 60 frames per second.
Right? Finally, the game can get, you know, the performance it deserves.
I had issues with my 360 disc.
I remember you talking about that, even on air, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reason why I think this, and I want to sort of map it out real quick, is that all of the guys at Platinum have acknowledged that they have an extremely pleasant, healthy relationship with Nintendo. Nintendo has put a lot of muscle behind Bayonetta. They've put a lot of money into Bayonetta. In fact, it has been confirmed that Nintendo has, in fact, sent staff and employees to work on Bayonetta. Bayonetta is being created in part by Nintendo themselves. And at press conferences at E3, not their press conference, but I should say sort of PR events, various journalists have asked if Nintendo will be doing a Bayonetta 1 port, since all of the folks at Platinum have indicated that they would like to see this franchise grow in the future with Nintendo, not just for Bayonetta 2, but past that. And Nintendo has simply responded that they are aware that this is something that the fans want, but that they don't currently have any announcements to make. And that, to me, is just, you know, we know that you want it. We know there's money here. We know that if we do it right, it can really grow our franchise. This is just not the time to talk about it.
Until we feel it's ready to show.
So I have to say, I really very strongly after this event feel that that's a thing coming down the line. We do know that, you know, the things I just said were facts. The speculative part is that them not having anything to announce is a momentary thing, since they did acknowledge knowing that the demand is there.
Yep.
And
also,
you know,
in hashtag year platinum this year,
the wonderful 101,
which looks so great. I mean, obviously, Kamiya-san's a visionary, and you know, I mean, I was always on board, but you know, I was really happy to see a lot of people really positively receive this.
Yeah. You know, I don't have a lot to say about Wonderful 101 that I haven't said in the past. And we just crossed the 1:30 mark. So we need to speed this up. So I'm not going to say too much about Wonderful 101. Just that every time I see the game, I am more impressed by it.
Yeah.
The in-game graphics just look better and better every time. The situations that you have to deal with look more and more complex. You know, we saw 5-player multiplayer this time.
Mm-hmm.
That is exciting. I cannot freaking wait to play the Wonderful 101.
Yeah. I can't help but get a little vibe of Beautiful Joe, from Wonderful 101.
Oh, definitely. It's like someone put Bayonetta, Beautiful Joe, and Pikmin into a blender, and I am here for that.
Hashtag here for that.
Hashtag here for that. Let's wrap this up, as we must. with the announcement of Smash Brothers U/3DS.
Yes! Now, this was one that everyone was going bananas over.
We knew this game was coming. There's obviously, we knew it was coming. And one of my favorite things about this announcement, you know, is that it's already spawned several internet memes. The first new challenger that was unveiled was the villager from Animal Crossing, unveiled at the very beginning of the trailer. And basically, the internet has painted the villager from Animal Crossing as a full-fledged sociopath.
Yeah, he's a little troll. Even just in terms of actual gameplay, he can, like, catch projectiles from Samus. He can catch fireballs from Mario.
He can instantly grow trees and then chop them down to fall on you.
He can throw a bowling ball at you.
Yeah, I was watching, drop a pot on your head as you're on the ground.
I was watching this, I was like, is this happening?
Yeah.
So Captain Spike's clearly going to learn how to play villager.
Definitely. So that was awesome. And then, you know, the trailer ended and the Nintendo Direct ended with the grand reveal of playable newcomer. Well, I was going to do an announcer voice style Mega Man, but after your little humming, I don't know, I feel outclassed.
That wasn't humming.
Mega Man!
It wasn't really humming, it was da-da-da-das.
I hate you, Goofy.
Yes, Mega Man, we're super excited. I am so excited that there are so many... I'm so excited that there are so many powers.
And, you know, they had all kinds of great Mega Man music in that trailer, the footage, you know, the way that he animates.
I cannot wait for Mega Man in whatever is the spiritual successor to Subspace Emissary.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And, you know, the trailer ended with a clip of Mega Man fighting a yellow devil from Mega Man 1 and 3 and probably several other Mega Man games as well. So... I took that as an indication that boss battles are going to be back in some context, and that we will definitely have a successor to Subspace Emissary.
Hey, Capcom.
Sell Mega Man to Nintendo. Cheap. It worked for Sega and Bayo. Strictly speaking, Sega didn't sell Bayo to Nintendo, but let's be real. That's what's effectively happening.
Looking at the Mega Man footage, even though it's like some of it was just footage from, you know, Smash or whatever, you know, I can't help but really, really want Nintendo exclusively to have a 2.5D Mega Man using those are assets. I think it would be...
Do you know what was unveiled about an hour later?
What?
Another Smash Brothers character.
Oh, yes.
Do you know who it was? Another playable female. They added the Wii Fit Trainer.
At first I was like, what? But the more that I saw of her, I was just like, this is great.
So
they showed the little video of her.
You know, let's not talk about it anymore. If you're listening to this, obviously you're listening to it because otherwise you wouldn't know I ever said these words. Load up GameBuoy.org if you haven't seen this reveal trailer of the Wii Fit Trainer in Smash Brothers.
GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. And we will link you to the Wii Fit Trainer reveal trailer. That's a really phonetically hard thing to say. And you just have to watch it for yourself. It's perfect. It sets the mood perfectly. And this character absolutely belongs in Smash. And I cannot wait.
And then the memes of her.
Yeah, her memes have been great. I don't want to talk about them too much. I want you to explore that space yourself.
Because we think that you will enjoy it. Look forward to it.
Please look forward to it. So, it looks like the rest of this year and 2014 for Nintendo are going to be aces in terms of games.
You know, I heard some people being like, oh, well, there's nothing really coming this year. But
we have a fairly major game every month for the rest of the year, so I have a hard time agreeing with that. We have Game & Mario, Freeze. Pikmin 3, Wonderful 101, we have Tropical Freeze, we have Wind Waker HD, which was shown at this event, but, I mean, I don't really have a lot to say about it. It's Wind Waker, but pretty. We have Mario, or not Mario Party, but Wii U Party.
Which I hope is just kind of testing ground for Mario Party.
It seems very likely.
I'm just like, I hope that, you know, I just hope that they don't not make Mario Party, because I'm not the biggest fan of Miis.
I suspect that they will, but I'll buy them both. It's all good.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have Mario 3D World coming out in December for Wii U. There's just major releases all up and down the schedule for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And you know we're going to have some Nintendo Directs announcing additional games in that time period. I am hoping for a Bayonetta 1 port by the end of the year, but we'll see.
Oh, you know something?
I'm also hoping for Bayonetta in Smash Brothers, but I've banged that drum loud enough for long enough that I won't harp on it. What else did we miss?
We really didn't, and I mean, we're going to kind of talk about, third-party stuff in a minute, but, there's third-party stuff coming to Wii U.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say about a lot of that.
Despite what people may be saying. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, you're absolutely right.
Honestly, though, I'm going to be totally real. I buy Nintendo consoles for Nintendo games.
Well, that's...
If there is great third-party software on Nintendo consoles, I'm totally here for that. I believe that there should be. But Nintendo will always sell me on every console they have until...
As long as there are Nintendo games on Nintendo consoles, I will buy them.
Yeah, because...
I will also buy any compelling third-party software. So third parties, make software for Wii U.
Yep.
That having been said, even a complete lack of third-party software, I don't care, because there's no reasonable context in which I'm only going to have one console.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that Super First World is hell for me. I realize that this does not apply to everyone, and that some people have to pick one. But I can't speak to that experience, because that's not my experience.
Yeah.
From my experience, what I'm getting in the next 6 months are six super high-quality Nintendo games, and... everything else is icing on that. I was very happy with Nintendo's show. It was really cool to see them show, you know, Watch Dogs, and for them to show...
Assassin's Creed,
and for them to show Lego Marvel, which obviously I'm absolutely gonna buy. I love Legos, I love Marvel, I'm here for that.
Yep.
But, truthfully, even without these things, I have... Smash, I have Bayo 2, I have Mario 3D, I have Tropical Freeze, all of these things
Mario
are coming.
Mario 8.
Yeah, like, so I'm already good. Like, bring me additional software, I will buy it, I will give you my money, I am eager to give you my money.
Yeah.
But, without it, you're the ones missing out here, third parties. Sorry about it.
So, we should talk about those third parties real quick.
Yeah, I just wanna say, I'm very, very enthusiastic about Nintendo's showing. I think that the software all sounds good for all of the reasons we discussed and detailed. The only reason why I don't think they won E3 is because I really still feel strongly that Sony knocked it out of the park.
And I'm thinking that's maybe why people were kind of underwhelmed by Nintendo.
Well, I think a lot of people were expecting Nintendo to address a lot of business decisions and business concerns, rather than just, as gamers, appreciating the quality of games on display. Like, would a price cut have been nice? Of course. Would an ambassador program too have been nice? Of course. Would news on additional virtual console support have been nice? Of course.
Would Find Me You be nice?
No. But, no, we're here for games, and they showed games in spades. They showed a stable of games that anyone would be lucky to have. And when I look at it in that context as a gamer, I cannot help but be impressed, thrilled, and want to be playing them all right now, especially Bayonetta 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, let's move on to EA and their grand reveal of Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
That's not the grand reveal that I was expecting.
You know, it's funny. There were three
it
big announcements.
Cute, though.
Three big announcements at that conference. And that's actually, of those three, the one I was second most excited. No, actually, that was number three. Now that I'm
thinking. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare was one of the top three?
For me, yeah. I mean, of EA's
it
announcements.
It looks really cute. Really cute. And I mean, I love PvZ.
I love Plants vs. Zombies, and I thought the game looked really
cute.
I
also love
fun.
Peace Blooms versus ghouls in World of Warcraft.
You know what else I really love? Is Peggle. So the super stealth ninja announcement of Peggle 2 was definitely a super
Peggle
huge
2.
High note for me, too. But obviously the biggest deal was the announcement of DICE's Mirror's Edge reboot.
Yeah.
Initially, this was shown, and people thought it was going to be like a remake or a prequel. I'm sorry, not remake, a prequel. Sorry, it's like 1:30 now. Oh, girl, we've been going a long time. As it had, you know, the main character getting her iconic tattoos mm-hmm. in this trailer, but EA has gone on record now, EA and DICE, talking about how the game is now going to be open world, and they're going to be recovering some of the ground from the first one because of this new design goal and their new design philosophy, and it's not going to be like open world, but like a shooter or anything. It's just going to be sort of more organic environments,
you know,
get missions to sneak into buildings and escape rather than having it all be pre-scripted, get from point A to point B. I actually think that's a design choice that is going to serve Mirror's Edge in freaking spades.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the thing is that I think the reboot was a good decision because I feel like, and I don't even mean this in a bad way, but I think Mirror's Edge was so ambitious, not that I don't think it was successful in its existing form, but I get the impression that DICE finally has the technology to tell the story they want and make the type of game that they want. So
yeah, absolutely. Let's see, another big announcement, and this would probably have been number 5 on my excitement list. Star Wars Battlefront is coming back in a game developed by DICE.
Oh.
I'm super excited. You know, Battlefront shares a lot of DNA with DICE's well-known Battlefield franchise.
Uh-huh.
So, I feel like they're probably going to do a really good job of Battlefront. And I'm a big fan of the Battlefront games, so I'm excited for that.
EA has the Star Wars license now, right?
We've talked about that in the past, but yeah.
So like, you know, here we go.
Let's see. So number 4 thing I was most excited about was Dragon Age Inquisition.
Looks really good.
Looks great. EA talked a lot about sports. And last, but certainly not least, because I actually was pleasantly surprised, EA showed off a significant portion of Battlefield 4. And this is a game that would definitely not be on my radar. It's a first-person shooter. It's multiplayer only. But, you know, did you watch the gameplay of Battlefield 4, Slagkick?
I want to talk about Battlefield 4 during the X-Bone, the Bone. And they're like, oh, wait, why is it not playing?
Oh, when they had their technical difficulties. LOL.
I felt such secondhand embarrassment for that guy.
Yeah, it was
no,
pretty
but honestly,
painful.
You know, I'm not... Battlefield's usually not really my thing, but, you know, I have to say EA had a pretty good lineup. And, you know, one thing that EA talked about, not during... I don't think it was during... I was just kind of reading after the fact, but one thing that they talked about during E3... was that they got rid of the online pass, that they were really talking that up, and that, you know, at this time, they don't have any plans.
Well, did you see how they specifically said that ultimately, while they made a little bit of money on that initiative, they felt that it was not worth the...
And they said the consumers were not happy.
The damage it's done
to their
reputation,
and they want to make their consumers happy. So, you know, as we reported on GameBuoy in the past little over a year now... EA had a lot of changing hands lately, so, you know, it sounds like they're really going in a good direction. And, you know, they haven't really commented on the X-Bone used game thing. So that's
actually
kind of backfiring on the bone.
That's not completely true, because Peter Moore, who is currently their CEO, had said that he personally views used games as a very valuable part of the ecosystem.
That said, EA hasn't officially announced
that's
that
true
stance.
That's true. I just wanted
Peter
to say
Moore, of course, coming from the 360 launch, right?
You sort of spiraled off real quick. I just want to get back to my point real quick. Battlefield 4, during that gameplay trailer, or not gameplay trailer, but the actual demonstration of gameplay, there was one part where there's like 64 people playing, and like a building gets blown up, and in real time is like a freaking building in the battlefield falling. That kind of blew my mind, because that's the sort of thing that requires the power that we don't really have in the current gen of consoles. And that, to me, way more important to me than frame rate or polish or shaders or what have you. Real-time destructible environments in sort of a meaningful gameplay sense makes me so freaking excited.
Platinum Games make a PS4 game with just everything destructible.
Oh man, could you imagine how good of a game Anarchy Reigns would have been if, as you were fighting in these crazy battlefields, the battlefield was also falling apart in a organic real-time way?
Anarchy Reigns 2, PS4, make it happen.
Please, it would be great. No one would buy it except for you and me and maybe one or two of our listeners, because we have the best, most handsome, sexy, beautiful listeners in all the world. But, you know, still, it would be a great game.
Yep, so, EA, not too bad.
Not too bad. Overall, I think of the games shown, I'm probably going to end up buying all of them that aren't sports. So, well played.
Yay. Although, UFC.
I'll probably buy that just to make some sexy fighters. And
make him like a bulge slider all the way to the maximum.
I doubt it will have a bulge slider. This isn't...
Every game should have a bulge slider.
This isn't Saints Row.
Thank you, Saints Row the Third.
No, but honestly, Saints Row the Third, thank you for having a bulge slider.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I mean sex appeal slider, because for women it also had an impact.
Just their bulge. It made their tetas bigger?
I'm not going to call them that on the air. I know that we have female listeners, and I definitely don't want to offend them. So... let's move on. We're getting punch drunk.
Love.
We're getting punch drunk. It is nearly 2 a.m. We have been going for nearly 2 hours.
Ooh.
I want to talk about Ubisoft, their hashtag that the lovely Aisha Tyler had on her shirt, said hashtag girlwood. This to me seemed like some sort of response to the women in games issue. I'm very conflicted on it, because I don't know that I think the best way to empower women is to imply that they have penises that can get boners. That having been said, I love that woman. I love what she does, and I feel like her particular unique brand of humor was, if not wasted on the audience of people that were at this event, then certainly a lot of her jokes fell flat because the audience didn't get them. But she's awesome, perfect, and flawless.
Yep.
I love her, and she just needs
love that
to
she's
keep
just
doing
such
what
a
she's
like
doing.
Such a like. Fuck yeah, I'm a gamer.
I love it, because gamer pride, man. I tell you, like, I just gamer.
Let's have
pride.
A gamer pride parade.
Oh my gosh, we should. My only gamer pride. So we had new trailers from Ubisoft for South Park, which was super racist, but
it's
had
South
a really
Park.
Well, yeah, it is South Park. Had a really cute reference to the fact that it's now under new management, a new publisher under Ubisoft, rather than THQ, for whom I'm now pouring out a 40.
Girl, that's a bottle of water.
Shut up. New trailer for Watch Dogs, which is looking super good.
Uh-huh.
New trailer for Assassin's Creed 4, which...
Oh, do you know what was so sad? The one sad moment of the PS4?
Sony, yeah. Assassin's Creed 4 demo crashed.
Yeah, but I mean, then there was the Battlefield moment in X-Bone 1, so. You know, I don't know if it was just me, but the footage that they were showing during the Nintendo trailer for Assassin's Creed 4, I mean, well, just the footage, it wasn't necessarily like a trailer, but it seemed like it looked like it was a little bit better. And, like, the colors were a little nicer on Wii U. I don't know if that was just my imagination.
You know, it could have been your imagination. It could have been settings on the stream. It could have been any number of things. But
that's
one
true.
Thing that did cross my mind is that, you know, Ubisoft already has a fully functioning, fully workable engine that is compatible and running on the finished and, you know, retail Wii U hardware. Whereas, you know, PlayStation is finalized, but not, like, they're not running on, like, straight up retail hardware yet, and their engine is probably still coming into
right. Didn't Assassin's Creed 3 run like the best on Wii U?
In my experience, it did. I, you know, played on a couple different platforms, and it was the one I had the least problem with.
Yeah, still a flop game.
I couldn't give you on paper stats that say that. I can only speak anecdotally.
All right.
Let's see. We also had a new trailer for The Mighty Quest for Epic Loot, which looked cute. I wasn't... That's the correct response. Oh, I know
Dogs
something.
Is a big one for me.
I know something cool. Rocksmith 2014. They had Lane Staley from Alice in Chains.
Oh, did you say Rocksmith 1994?
I'm doing gay flappy hands. That was a super good burn. Yeah, I feel like that presentation would have done way better 20 years ago when Lane Staley was relevant.
Or, you know, when Lane Staley was still alive.
Oh my god, I didn't. Oh, I'm so sorry, everyone. Okay, no, it was Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
Who came out for Rocksmith. Oh my god, I feel awful. I am a bad person. Crap, that is like twice in 2 weeks that I've been awful on air. Well, Rocksmith, not impressed. I'm sorry for anyone I offended by referencing the wrong person from Alice in Chains, but let's be real, who really cares about Alice in Chains?
Well, Lane Staley was the only good part of Alice in Chains. I guess that's not necessarily true.
Jerry Cantrell was pretty important, actually. So
I think he thinks he's more important than...
I'm not going to get into this conversation.
This is not Music Buoy.
I already feel awful.
This is not Music Buoy, so...
Let's see, we also had The Crew, which looked cool. Co-op.
Open world was a very big theme in E3.
I think it's going to be for the next few years, as we have, you know, the added processing power of the next-gen consoles to really let developers sort of open their game designs to these sort of huge, vast experiences that are interactive and have cool, workable, organic environments. Organic design is something that's very important to me. I just realized that recently while talking about Super Metroid.
Yeah.
I am all about, like, organic. If your game feels good, it feels like all of the disparate pieces work together correctly.
Man, you're more
correctly.
About organic than people in Portland.
Girl, I am not that about organic, all right. But the crew, it looked good. It looked very much like co-op Burnout Paradise or that sort of thing, and I was really into it.
Just Dance
2014.
Just Dance
2014. I was excited that it has the Ghostbusters song in it. Ghostbusters!
It's just
Who are you
going
to call?
It's just Dance.
Okay, no, stop, though.
but, you know, it's Just Dance. It's cute. I've talked about that I like Just Dance. I don't think it's as great as Dance Central, but it's Just Dance. I think that it's good that Ubi still... You know, supporting it, so, yay.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see, we had the 1-2 punch reveal of Trials, Fusion, and Frontier.
Oh, yeah.
I will definitely be getting them. They both look good to me. Did they look good to you?
Yeah, they look pretty good.
Any other comment to say about them?
Nope.
Excellent. I'm going to try to speed this up. We really need to get to the end of this episode.
Yeah.
I have donuts waiting for me.
I know, I want a donut.
Let's see, did you, what about Rabbids Invasion Interactive TV Show for the Bone?
You know, I guess it's cool that it's interactive. If the Bone's trying to push, like, oh, new TV experiences on your TV. You know, I mean, I guess that's cool. If it's not going to be just a glorified DVD game.
Yeah, I'm a little worried that it's just going to be Night Trap 2, the sequel. Except with, you know, no Dana Plato boobs.
Oh my god, but what if it's... You know how clever those rabbits are. What if it's a Night Trap, like, parody with rabbits?
I would almost expect that.
But obviously
like, I would almost
the
expect there to
the
be
boobs.
A part of that.
So, let's end the Ubi...
Wait, Dana Plato died? Now I feel awful again.
Oh my god.
Man, I'm just not going to make jokes anymore.
Well, you know, death's come in threes.
Is the next one going to be The Bone?
No. But do you know who it's going to be?
Who is it going to be?
Oh, no, I don't want to say that because he's still alive.
Girl. So the last game to talk about, and then we can finally move on, is Tom Clancy's The Division. an online open-world military RPG taking place in a setting where the U.S. has been devastated by a contagious agent on dollar bills.
I thought Tom Clancy had passed away.
I'm super excited for this game. I'm not even quite sure why, except that, I mean, I kind of like...
Open world!
I kind of like open world RPGs. I kind of like games with guns that have stats involved. Like,
yeah, I'm more interested in those parts of it than the Tom Clancy part. I know the Tom Clancy part is a game seller for some people. You know, the Splinter Cell series have been really popular. But yeah, I think it's mostly just the appeal that you've talked about. So,
excellent, excellent, excellent. Well.
Not a bad showing from Ubi, but I think EA's showing was a little better.
I agree. You know, Square Enix also had a showing, but we've covered everything that they talked about, primarily while discussing the Sony conference. Oh, I just want to mention also, Kingdom Hearts also coming to the bone. Kingdom Hearts 3.
Right.
I don't think we mentioned it earlier, but we did mention that 15 is, but...
Yeah, I'm not surprised, honestly.
No, you start putting that level of money into these games, and they have to come out. To as wide of audience,
I mean, we've
as
seen
possible.
the 13 trilogy be on. Well, I mean, Lightning Returns isn't out yet, but you know, the 13 trilogy on 360. So,
yeah. Let's see. I briefly want to mention that Ouya, was present at E3. Apparently, they had a stall in the parking lot. My understanding is that they were asked to leave repeatedly by the ESA, and that apparently they were rude to several con attendees, including people whom. You know, we here at Game Buoy know and are friendly with.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of, like, I have to say, you know, I still haven't gotten my freaking Ouya. Like, I've talked about
really?
This thing so many times over the last year.
I still haven't unboxed my freaking Ouya.
Rude. I'm so jealous. But, like, supposedly...
It's just an Ouya. Don't be jealous.
Supposedly, they shipped it off to me a week or two ago, but I haven't seen any confirmation email. I haven't seen a tracking number.
You know, my tracking number never even worked.
I heard that from a couple people. So I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going on with Ouya, but I have to admit, at this point, I really regret giving them my money, so...
Me too, kind of.
For those of you out there in internet radio land who are like, man, I wish I'd gotten an Ouya, I'm just like, girl, no you don't.
Wow, we need to make next episode be, like, super
cheerful. Oh, I'm being
cheerful.
Really negative again.
I'm
bad.
Being negative, too, and then we're
I
saying that
people... to be.
We're talking about people who are dead and not dead, and it's just, it's not good.
Girl, that was an accident for me. Yeah, okay, well, next week we're going to
do... Mine was an accident, too.
Next episode is going to be on a happy topic of some context.
Death and gaming.
Oh, girl. I don't know, maybe I'll talk about, like... Game Buoy and the top 10 games that make you smile.
Aww.
That sounds like a BuzzFeed article.
God.
See, I'm being negative. I don't even need to do
Let's
it.
Let's talk about something good.
A it's new 2 a.m. Goodness gracious.
New Etrian Odyssey has been announced for U.S. Yay!
Yes, that's something to be positive about. Oh, Metal Gear Solid 5. And Upper Konami World. Also had an E3 event, but it was literally not worth mentioning.
It's Konami.
But Metal Gear Solid 5 going to be open world and have online multiplayer. Woot woot.
I saw some photos from Konami's area on the floor. They had a sexy Gabriel Belmont. Dracula.
So. Girl,
sorry
that's
for
a big
spoilers.
Spoiler. Anyway,
we're going to bleep that out.
Anyway. Sexy character from Castlevania, looking sexy. I felt kind of bad because that game
big
looks...
statue.
I'm going to play that game. I like the first one. It wasn't what I wanted, but it still wasn't
bad. Should I bleep
out
that spoiler?
No, let's just move on, though. Oh yeah, other miscellaneous news. Final Fantasy 15, or 14, getting a new class and jobs.
In the Arcanist, which will have the Scholar and Summoner jobs. Yeah, they both look really neat.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that, so... and last, but most certainly not least, Namco Bandai is finally making a new Bravo Man game. I think many of us had kind of predicted that this would be a thing that would be occurring soon, given that the Bravo Man, cartoon strips that they've been doing on their website have gained a reasonable level of popularity among fans.
That's cool.
Cool! So, why don't you tell me now? Let's talk real quick. Let's ruminate on the show, and then we're going to move forward and end this program.
Yeah.
What did you think of E3 this year?
Cool!
Overall? You thought it was cool?
You know, the interesting thing is that last year on our first annual E3 blowout, we were kind of like, wow, what's the point of E3 anymore? You know, it's kind of just to show the mainstream media what's up. I do have to say the mainstream media did pretty decent coverage.
I felt that way. I definitely.
But honestly, I feel like, I don't know if people reached out to the companies and were like, hey. But,
wrap it up.
I feel like they, whether it was on the subconscious level or whatever, they kind of responded and really, I feel like this E3 kind of appealed to the larger gaming community this year and then last year.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say, with all of the hype of, you know, both Xbox and PlayStation 4 both coming out later this year, like this holiday season, I really feel like hype levels and excitement and energy levels were at like an all-time high.
And of course,
Nintendo had their super strong showing of great games.
It had to be a good E3 or else it would have been, very harmful for them. Well, it's already harmful for Xbox, so.
Let me ask you this. This is a little bit more of an abstract question. What do you think about each of the big three moving forward from this event over the course of the next 12 months?
I think Microsoft's going to do a lot of backpedaling, but they've already made their intentions very clear about what their focus is. And I think that's done enough damage for me personally that it's really going to take a lot of recovery for me to trust Microsoft again. Sony, I think, has really made their intentions clear with, you know, that they just really want to be super well-rounded, having really, you know, beefy games, but also really supporting indie games, and really trying to focus, like we've talked about a community and really just being the gamer's console. And Nintendo, just being like, bam, bam, look at our first party.
It's all about the games.
Look at our first party titles and, you know, also third parties. But, you know, Nintendo's just, you know, some people may think that they were just kind of phoning it in. But no, Nintendo's going to do what they do. It may not, the Wii U may not be a big seller like the Wii was. But people said this about the 3DS, you know, so, I mean, there's not really much to say. It's been all been said. One last thing I want to say is that I've seen people being like, oh, so cool to see Nintendo and Sony duke it out, just like in the 90s. It's like, you know, I really don't think that they're competing in a general sense, but they're offering different experiences. And that's why I, as a gamer, feel that I should own a Wii U, but why I feel it's worthwhile to have a Wii U and a PS4. So, you know, I mean, I understand where people are coming from, but I don't see it so much like, oh, you know, that they're duking it out. I just think they're offering different experiences, and you know, Microsoft is too, just unfortunately not an experience that I am really interested in.
Yeah.
How about you?
You know, moving forward, I really feel like we saw pretty much everyone's intention pretty clearly this go around. Nintendo is going to stay in its corner. It is going to do what it does and just make good, high quality games.
And people may be like, boo to that, but I say, you go, Nintendo.
Yeah. Two for you, Nintendo. You go, Nintendo. Good games are always welcome to me.
Four for you.
It is literally what I am a gamer for, is good games. And Nintendo, by all intentions, is going to deliver on that front for the next year.
Indeed.
So, hell yeah. We have Sony, who is really starting to listen to what third-party developers want, and what gamers want, and what indie developers want. And I think it really shows that so many people are so excited that Sony is hitting all the marks.
Sony's back.
Sony is back. That's what it feels like.
This feels like PS2 Sony
again. The return of the king.
Feels like PS2 Sony again, and I'm happy for that.
And I must say, there's nothing I want more than for basically every major gamer I know, certainly this applies to most, to fly the, you know, PS4U flag. got my PS4 for my multi-plat games, got my PS4 for the third-party games, and I got my Wii U for the Nintendo games.
That's my approach.
Where that leaves the Bone, I think the Bone is going to have a hard first year. I think Microsoft in general is going to have a really difficult 12 months.
I just hope that the Bone doesn't end up in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Yeah, I definitely don't want people to lose their jobs over these boneheaded decisions.
Oh, ex-boneheaded.
I do think it's gonna be rough for them for a while. But, you know, who knows? For all we know,
you know, PS3 had a rough couple of first years.
And we don't really know anything about Microsoft's long-term strategies. For all we know, the Xbox 2 could be a year behind, and they could get on an annual refresh like iPhones. And the next thing you know, by Xbox 3, they have the most advanced hardware in the world. You know, like, maybe, we have literally no idea.
Maybe Illumirum's coming, so, you know.
Yeah, we have no idea what they have going on forward.
I can't
but right now,
see a lot of backpedaling, and
things look dark. So, yeah, no, I mean, and you mentioned that you foresee backpedaling for them in the
And, you know, the thing
future.
Is that, like I said, Sony had a lot of struggles with the PS3, but I'm really happy with how the PS3 is.
Yeah, so it's definitely too early to count Microsoft out, but I do think that the next 12 months are going to be a tricky space for them. So I hope it goes well. I hope the damages are as small as possible, but I hope they get the message clear that, you know, you have to treat your user base with some level of respect, or else they're just not gonna, we're not gonna lay down and let you treat us poorly.
I just wonder if at like E3 2020 they'll pull out a Sony style conference.
I am, the more I think about it, the more I feel like Microsoft has some plans. I just don't know for sure what they are yet. But I don't think that they're done for or anything. I don't think
we'll
that they're
follow.
Sinking. I just think that they made some bad choices that they gonna have to deal with for the next year.
If you had told me even, you know, a year ago, because, I mean, if you told me a year ago that that the Xbox, next Xbox, was going to be, like, critically not panned, but, you know, like, that it was just going to be a mess, and that PS4 was the one I was going to get excited about, I'd be like,
pfft. Yep, but that's what happened, and, you know, we can't see into the future.
It's just such an interesting turn of events, and why the world of gaming is so exciting.
Yes. Let's see. So I'm going to wrap it up with this question, which you've already answered, basically. What are you going to buy?
PS4!
Woot woot!
I have a Wii U already, but if I didn't, I would buy one right now.
I'm going to buy basically everything Nintendo showed, basically everything EA showed,
oh, you meant
several
games
things
too?
Ubi showed, and I'm buying a PS4 for sure.
Didn't know you meant games, but I'm pretty much the same.
I'm a gamer. I talk about games.
I thought you meant specifically the hardware, but yeah.
Excellent. So overall, good show, bad show?
Pretty good show.
Excellent. Pretty good show. All right, folks, there you have it. We're going to skip a few of our regular segments, all of which will be coming back in our next episode. And we're going to cut right to the chase and bring you our social links, which will, of course, start the beginning of the end of this episode of Game
Boy. The end is the beginning is the end.
So, Slackick, if you'd like to start with our question of the week.
All right, our question of the week was, this week was E3, as you probably know. Was there a winner? If so, who? And what did you get hyped up to play? So we got Renee from the Koopa Club podcast.
Woot woot, Koopa Club!
Said, overall, E3 was very whelming, from the sugary and dizzying highs of Sony and Nintendo's announcement to the gut-wrenching and lackluster presentation by Microsoft. Wow, very verbose. Including the now trending meme of Animal Crossing's villager, it's over. It was like a backwards roller coaster ride. First place Sony, second place Nintendo, last place, not third, Microsoft. Burn from Renee. Crystal D, Game Boy Superfan, said, truthfully, I only watched Sony burn Microsoft. It was awesome.
It was.
And these were both on Facebook, by the way. I don't usually fight over the best system, but we have now pre-ordered the PS4. Yes.
PS4 you, baby.
I was really impressed how much Sony is supporting the indie developer And yes, especially the ones who made Bastion.
I knew you were going to go there, girl. Love it.
Personally, I am looking forward to Transistor. Again, love Bastion. And even though I've never played Kingdom Hearts, I'm looking forward to the third one. I'm planning on going back to playing them.
Excellent. Please do. Those games are so good.
I agree with Renee. Sony is number one, Nintendo number two, Microsoft boo. And then I have to just say that Renee followed up with, are you saying boo or boo earns?
And then I was saying boo earns.
All right.
Let's get it going.
Jeremy from Koopa Club said,
woot, woot.
It's very telling in regards to the state of the industry when an entire conference audience erupts into an applause when they are told that a console manufacturer is sticking with the way things have been for a while now.
You know, that actually leads me to a really interesting point that I'm going to ask you after this awesome feedback is done. So keep going.
Anyways, E3. MS destroyed any good I might have had towards them. Though the diverse lineup of games they showed was nice, and the $4.99 price point is absurd. Sony had a good conference, which was much better at the time, mainly because Microsoft left such a sour taste in most people's mouths. Here's interesting perspective. Sony showed some good games, but not a humongous ton of variety. Nintendo has some great software coming up this holiday, but looking back on the Direct, I can't help but feel that we didn't really get anything that wasn't expected. Even the Mega Man reveal was bound to happen, glorious though it was.
I am going to say, many of us thought that the Mega Man reveal was bound to happen with Brawl after the first third-party guest character was announced. So while I want to agree that Mega Man was bound to happen, I don't really truly think that it was.
Who thought that Mega Man anything was bound to happen these days?
Well, exactly so.
Thanks,
that's what
Capcom.
I mean. That's a big part of why the Mega Man reveal meant so much to me as a Mega Man fan, because, frankly, outside of Smash, it almost feels like a dead franchise right now.
Yeah, well,
and I don't like
Jeremy still had more to say.
I'm sorry, continue. I definitely don't mean to interrupt.
To him,
Jerry.
He said, it feels like something was missing this year, and I can't put my finger on it. Regardless, I'll be broke this holiday between Nintendo games and Sony hardware, just like us. First place, tie between Sony and Nintendo. Second, my mama. Third place, some guy that drove a car once. Fourth, my dentist. Fifth, that lady that smells like garbage. And then sixth place, Microsoft.
So that's like the most whimsical and fun message ever. For everyone else who's ever sent us messages, I like all of yours too. But no, that one was really quite funny. But what I wanted to say was, and this is a criticism that I saw leveled against Sony quite a bit online that I wanted to ask you about during our episode proper when we were wrapping it up.
Uh-huh.
But I, you know, got carried away with the fact that it's now 2:15.
And you really want to get a donut.
I really want to eat that donut, yeah. LOL my diet. But, you know, I've a lot of people have, I kind of think correctly, observed that in any other year, Sony would be taking lickings for having had an underwhelming conference. And they are only being held so high regard.
We did not even mention that PS Plus will be required to play online
No,
games.
Because even though that's an awful change from the current norm for Sony,
there's a precedent
Microsoft had put on such a shit show that was so awful that people were literally pleased at mediocrity. And I don't think that this is a completely baseless accusation.
I don't think it was mediocre, though.
As Jeremy says, you know, they didn't really show a lot. They just said some really good things that really
punched
Microsoft.
The thing is that the presentation was important, and they nailed the presentation. So we got one last one that's not entirely an answer to the question of the week, but kind of ties in. Dan G replied on Facebook and said that he drove past the Staples Center last week while in L.A., that huge banner outside that said Dark Souls 2, and he didn't say anything at the time as he had more important fish to fry, but he still thought, cool! So that's cool. Dark Souls 2, I know a lot of people are looking forward to that, so cool. Now time for, I'm going to just shoot off our general feedback.
Listener feedback!
We got a question of the week answer from episode 29, the X-Bone. Justin T. from Georgia left a comment on Facebook. In regards to the X-Bone, he said, I'm so there. My cable box interfaces are their shit. Utter shit. I play and enjoy many of the shooting games franchises for the Xbox. It's because you're basically a bro, Justin T. I mean that with love. I'm too lazy to build my own set-top box, which would inevitably have weird hardware compatibility problems. Right, me too. And the social aspect of Live has always seemed superior to that of PSN to me.
You're absolutely right on that, Justin T. I definitely 100% agree that that is the one way in which Live is superior to PSN.
Yeah, although I love PS Plus. Also, I'm not poor.
We're talking about social aspect.
Yeah. Also, I'm not poor, and thus couldn't give two shits. Or any shits, for that matter. Call Jamie Lee Curtis.
Activia!
About backwards compatibility, or if they want to charge for playing a used game. Win, all the wins. X gets the square.
Can I just say something real quick? Yes.
I'm a grown woman, poop my pants, I'm proud of it.
I don't agree with you on all of that, but...
We got more power to you, Justin.
More power to you. If you're happy with the bone, then get that bone.
Oh, trust me, Justin's happy with the bone.
No, you don't get to say things like that about our listeners. Apologize.
No, he'll love it. Trust me.
Okay, if he doesn't... Justin T., if you don't like that, please send us feedback.
I almost got a little killer instinct there. That was not good.
See, please send us some sort of feedback... So that I can make sure that Slagkick regrets having said that about you.
Yeah, I kind of just took that to a killer instinct, let it just happen, saying, oh, this isn't good. Let's do some happy moments. Dan D. from California commented on Facebook and Twitter, social links overload.
Yeah, we...
I think he might have even done it on Google Plus, but I don't know. It's Google
we
Plus.
Get a little spammy, because, you know, we want you guys to respond. We really like our listeners. We're very fortunate to have listeners that we actually highly respect and enjoy.
See, I took that to mean that he was overloading our social links. Like, hey!
Okay, but that still fits, because he's one of our listeners, and I feel really privileged to get to interact with these folks on a fairly regular basis.
Dan D. also commented over on GameBuoy.org. He was our first... registered user on GameBuoy.org, where you can leave a comment on our post. He said, this was in regards to the X-Bone episode. I had said something about big bro games. And he said, when Slagkick is talking about big bro games, all I hear is Nanako, welcome home, big bro! Which leads me to ponder, if you were a social link, which arcana would you be? I'll ask you first.
Do I really have to answer that? Like, Dandy, I've met you in real life. Emperor, yo.
Oh, because of Kanji?
What about you? No, well, no, because dude, like...
Oh, because you're the
Emperor,
boss.
Emperor, yo.
I'm the boss.
What about you?
All I have to say is, every day's great at your Juness.
Girl. Did you really?
My arcana would probably be the Hermit.
Oh, right, because you... Oh, I'm not going to...
Because you're a hermit.
I'm not. I'm going to be super pleasant. Well played. Awesome. Hermit is rad. Introspection.
Yes. The other choice would probably be the magician, because Yosuke...
Brosuke?
Brosuke is... He's kind of like the first mate in Persona 4, so...
And I'm the emperor, so it works for me.
Yeah, because Kanji's bosses.
He is.
Yeah. So, thank you... For that fun question.
Oh, Dan D tweeted,
so social links overload. He said, you guys should check out Gunpoint Game, which is a Twitter handle.
So I've purchased it. I have, in fact, now purchased it as a gift for several different people. Gunpoint is awesome. We haven't talked a lot about indie games super recently, aside from while we were talking about Sony just a little bit ago. It might be time to do a focus on indie games.
Yeah.
Slagkick. Let's make a note there. Huge success. But in the interim, I effing love Gunpoint. If you're out there looking for sort of a weird, cool, like, elevator action meets the incredible machine, you need to play Gunpoint, like, right now. Like, that game is so good.
GameBuoy superfan Crystal D, which, as of course, what? As we
Crystal
said,
D.
is not oh, Crystal yeah. Dynamics. It's our... lovely friend Crystal. This is directed to you, Captain Spike. She says, WTF, Barbara Gordon as Batgirl is bringing back our roots and respecting the new 52s. She said this while catching up on GameBuoy, and we were talking about Batgirl in Injustice. So what do you have to say to that?
Okay, so Crystal, I adore you. You've been one of my closest friends for basically my entire life. You're super rad. I'm so happy and thrilled and feel privileged that you listen to our stupid show all the time. I don't actually think our show's stupid. I'm really proud of it. But either way, you know, I want to be self-effacing a little bit because I'm about to disagree with you publicly on the air. And that is, you're right. Barbara Gordon as Batgirl certainly does reference our roots, and it does respect where New 52 is now. The problem is, I think New 52 is stupid. And furthermore, I think that Barbara Gordon was better as the Oracle after she was incapacitated by the Joker and said, you know what, I'm paralyzed from the waist down, but I'm still going to be one of the most useful superheroes in all of the DC universe and be an amazing paraplegic superhero. So I really like Barbara Gordon in that context, and I like Batgirl as Spoiler or Cassandra Cain.
Hashtag comics buoy.
Sorry. But that's just my feelings. I do definitely respect how you feel, and when you frame it in that perspective, Barbara Gordon is sort of the iconic Batgirl, and it does make sense for them to have gone with her.
You're
so,
just being...
credit to you. I have a lot of comic book feelings, but you are really right. Also, something we forgot to follow up on. DC Universe DLC character Scorpion was unveiled, as well as upcoming DC... Injustice. My bad. I think I said DC Universe. DC Injustice. Look, it's late, okay?
Yeah. No, I was laughing at DC Universe Online. And
makes me laugh, too. So, guest character Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, and also Zod from the Superman movie was announced as DLC for that game. So, cool.
Cool. So, we got a few more before we wrap it up here. Osfer commented over at GameBuoy.org. Thank you for making a GameBuoy.org account. It's free.
Thank you. It's free, and we really appreciate it.
Episode 29, he said, so this is my first GameBuoy episode, and I gotta say...
Okay, I don't think you need to read the rest of that.
No.
I'm blushing so hard.
Captain Spike can park a ship in my harbor...
No, stop.
Any
this
day,
is not...
with that handsome voice of his.
Don't do that. Thank you, Osfer. That's a very pleasant thing for you to say. I really appreciate it, and I'm super red, so... embarrassed and shy.
Park a ship
in my
harbor.
Stop it.
I'm going to have to use that one. Thanks, Osfer. Jeremy from Koopa Club tweeted, oh, this was a hashtag GameBuoy
Extra. It made me super excited.
He said the Call of Duty, I have to say the GameBuoy Extra from last episode was, how do you think the Call of Duty dog is going to die? Because he's probably going to die and it's going to be tragic. He says the Call of Duty dog will die because he ate his food too fast. Also, then got shot in the face.
That's hashtag GameBuoy Extra.
Hashtag GameBuoy Extra. That's terrible, but also why you're my favorite, Jeremy from Koopa Club.
Yeah, no, he's my favorite for several reasons, but that's one of them, definitely. And I have to say, that tweet right there was so flawless that that's a big part of why
And you said nobody answered a GameBuoy Extra.
Let me finish, girl. That is literally the reason why I dropped GameBuoy Extra into today's episode so many times, because this tweet was freaking perfect.
We got two more tweets. Twitter user Gamerfrag, I said a frag, said he was at the gym and getting through my cardio with some GameBuoy.org. That's awesome. I hope that we inspired you to do your best, and maybe we'll have to do a Wii Fit trainer-centered episode so you can do your cardio to it. Thanks. We're glad for your support, and glad that you got through your cardio.
Work.
And last...
Hashtag work.
Last but certainly not least is our beloved Nintendug.
We adore you, Doug.
He said he linked us a picture, which we'll link to you on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
He said, found these at home. Have you considered doing a show on pirate oddities? And it's a picture of two of those, 50-in-1 carts. One of them said just game, and one of them said Game Amy. Where the GameBuoy, the Game Boy part on the top of the Game
Boy?
Yeah,
it's 2:30 now.
The Game Boy cart.
Snafus
said, one said game, and one said Game Amy. Yeah. Game Amy's Baking Company.
So, as a matter of fact, and, you know, I tweeted this at you, but as a matter of fact, we have considered doing a show on that. It's almost certainly a thing that will happen, so hashtag please look forward to it.
And, you know, GameBuoy listener Conrad H. had said something about a pirate game last time, so yeah.
Yeah, I think it's about time that we really get that down.
We are pirates, so
we're gonna steal your ideas.
We're gonna pirate your pirate game ideas. Pirates. You are just the type of man as I thought. You know, pirates are great.
Pirates are great.
And you know what else is great? Your feedback. We love your iTunes subscriptions. We love your ratings and reviews. We like your Facebook likes. We fucking love your tweets on Twitter.
Fucking love Twitter, yo.
We're sorry to always drop the F-bomb there, but we fucking love Twitter.
Yeah, no, and you know, we've dropped a couple tonight, so I'm not too worried about it.
You can tumble with us on Tumblr at gamebuoy.tumblr.com. And we have a Google Plus. Just go to gamebuoy.org. You can email us. You can make an account on GameBuoy.org. We should throw out these social links every week, and we just love to interact with you. We're not trying to be needy.
Nah, you guys are rad. We're really lucky to have...
You're what makes GameBuoy worth GameBuoying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're blessed to have so many awesome fans as we have, and I've probably said that like 50 times this episode, and I'm going to say it probably like 50 more.
Just not tonight.
Just not tonight, yeah. In future episodes. Because y'all are great. But I got donuts, and donuts do take priority over all y'all. So I just want to shout out to Koopa Club. If you like what we do, and if you like all of their awesome feedback that they gave us this episode, because as you must have noticed, they came up like 20 times, and all 20 times were super good.
You have something to
share. Check these guys out. They're great. I love what they do. I was very blessed and privileged to be allowed to guest on their show a couple weeks ago to talk about Super Metroid.
It was a great episode.
Talk about the game design. Just talk about some really great stuff about Super Metroid.
You
highly recommend.
You did Game Buoy proud, son.
Yeah, you don't call me son in this context. But I
was... Oh, senpai!
But no, they're a really great show.
Yeah.
Even if you do not listen to the episode I was on, just listen to them. They're great. They really
are. They're kind of like the Midwest Game Buoy. They're awesome.
Girl. NPCs only. You know, a different kind of gaming, of course, but honorary pirates, Space Pirate Ben and Seawolf Jason, finally have a show, and I'm basically obligated to plug it here. They now have two episodes up online, so that's awesome. Please listen to it. And last but most certainly not least, because they are amazing and we would literally not exist without them, please, 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 please listen to Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom I have obviously stolen ever so many of my cues. Slykick, who do you shout out to?
As always, I'd like to shout out to Game Bar.
I want to take it to a game bar.
That's usually my thing to do. The podcast that fills your brain space with hours of gay video game commentary, and who we will be sharing panel time at the Gamer X convention, along with Koopa Club and OLR.
Podcast Cross Zone, baby.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Thank
we
you.
Are a real
thank
thing.
Thank you, listeners, for voting, and
thank you,
Gamer X.
Thank you, listeners, for voting. Thank you, Matt Kahn, for organizing Gamer X. Thank you, Game Bar, and Orange Lounge Radio, and Koopa Club, and, you know, Horde House for all agreeing to do this freaking thing.
Yeah.
This is going to be super fun. It's going to be great. And any of all y'all out there on Internet Radio Land that are going to be at Gamer X, you really should come and see us. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sorry. Continue your shout-outs.
As ever and always, the Nerdgasm Network, you know, they're the wildest, wackiest, sexiest, and craziest 18 hours or so of shock video game radio that you'll ever come across. No, I'm kidding. You know, I kind of teased about their length, but, their length. You know, they were...
Hey.
Before we got into all these supersized Game Buoy episodes, I was always like, wow, you know, they're able to talk about games for, like, 3 hours. And I always used to poke fun at them.
As I see us cross the 2-hour, 35-minute line.
Right. But, you know, those guys are just hilarious to listen to. You know, if you like us and you like it raunchier, go listen to Nerdgasm Network. Horde House, the place for online gaming news, but never too seriously. Now,
I have to say, you know, it's funny because I just recently got back into World of Warcraft, and then now they're not a World of Warcraft show anymore.
Nope, they're just about all things online gaming, but never too seriously. So, of course, same great hosts, same great place over at the VOG Network, but you know, now
Voice
expanding.
Voice of Geeks.
Voice of Geeks. Expanding to cover other MMOs, which is great because, you know, Final Fantasy XIV and Realm Reborn. Rift has just gone free to play now, huh?
Yeah.
Just happened.
That's a thing.
I've been too
happened.
Busy playing WoW, but, that just means that I need to listen to more Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO. And I believe they just recently crossed the 100 episode milestone, so congratulations.
I believe I saw that on Twitter, yeah, that's awesome.
Congratulations, Girls Gone WoW. And last but certainly not least, Video Game Outsiders, a podcast about video gaming from the average player's perspective. And this will probably be my final time shouting this out. If you love our theme music, you know. that of course was done by Zelda Reorchestrated. God, I just feel sorry for the people listening to this being like, what is wrong with them?
It's 2:30 a.m. is what's wrong with us. Let's wrap it up. We're like 40 seconds away.
You know, Zelda Reorchestrated has officially closed their doors now. I'm going to put some links up for you on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Zelda Universe is a Zelda fan site that has graciously mirrored both the entire archive of Zelda Reorchestrated works, including our theme music, as amongst many others, and the Twilight Symphony project. So, you know, you'll still have a way to access this. I'm not sure for how long, hopefully indefinitely, but, you know, I'm going to go download those right now, and you should too. And please, you know, just appreciate this wonderful labor of love. And we're sad to see them go. So with that...
Well, with that, I think it's time for us to go. We have some donuts that need to be eaten. We are, in fact, going to go to the Wii U Best Buy E3 playable experience tomorrow, hopefully.
Hopefully we'll get in and, you know, not be like a ridiculous line.
Yeah, fingers crossed. If we do get a chance to play, please look forward to some content from us on our feed, maybe some sort of special mini episode for all y'all. Just to talk about that, it will probably not be very long. Of course, given the way recent episode lengths have gone.
It'll just be an hour and a half.
It'll just be 2 hours. But it's whatever. That's a mini episode, right? 2 hours?
Yeah.
So with that, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you listening. That's what sort of gives us the ability and desire to keep on going. So, in the meantime, until we meet again, keep gaming, keep thinking.
And every day's great at your Jeunesse.
And this is the end of an era. I think I'm going to stop using Cowboy Bebop end titles after this. So, in the meantime, until next week, I have to ask, are you living in the real world? I am testicles again.
I am testes again.